This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
The event at 6:30. Amy Goodman will speak at 7:30.
Again, Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, comes to Houston for a live speaking engagement on Thursday, April 17th.
The Pavilion Royale is wheelchair accessible and is located at 5800 Airline Drive.
This is Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
We'll be right back. Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston.
That was a good one.
All right.
Woo! I've been saving up for a month, damn it. Galveston and the world. This is After Hours. Queer radio. Just a touch of attitude. My name is Chris Harrison. I will be your co-executive producer for this evening. Jimmy Carper is out in San Diego, as he traditionally does, of welcoming the fleet home, as he has done since the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria.
That's a good one.
Our number is 713-526-5738. Or 713-526-4000, and I'll give you Dwayne's extension later. Hey, I've already been told I'm going to hell. Why not? Why not make it a group trip?
Can we go for?
Where am I going, and why am I in this handbasket? Right. Hey, calendar events. Let's see if I can go through here.
Hopefully those are current.
He's had a month to see, to go through these. I hope he has. HPEP, the Houston People Exchanging Power, right?
Yes, okay. Correct.
Hey,
correct.
I paid attention at a meeting. We'll be having new member newcomer meetings are held on the first Saturdays of the month in the banquet room at West Gray Cafe Bar and Grill, 415 West Gray, at 7:30 p.m. Newcomer meetings are a great way to find out more about the group in a relaxed, no-pressure atmosphere. Come and meet a few of the HPEP members, ask some questions, and get some answers about the nature of the group and how it works. Whether you're new to the scene or a seasoned vet, all are welcome. You must be over 18. 21 is preferred. To attend. For more information, you can. Does it have their web address? Oh, hpep.org. It's at the top of the page. Hey, you know, worst case scenario, you go to lukeyweekend.com and go into one of our auxiliary clubs. The Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star Inc.
They Left Off Houston proudly presents Keep It Gay, a tribute to gay songs, groups, and icons. Presented by Imperial Prince XXIV Falcon and hosted by the Birthday Boys Imperial Prince 24 Falcon and Emperor 21 Christopher Garrett. This will be on April 12th at 8 p.m. over at EJ's. It's a benefit for Legacy Community Health Services and Assisters through Coronation 25. Hey, the same group, same person, different story. Dragging Out the Leather by Imperial Prince Falcon will be at May 24th at the Ripcord, 9 p.m. That's right. Drag at the Ripcord.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Gary is already scared.
Yes, just make sure he gets laid.
Now, that would be interesting to see.
The Ripcord's at 715 Fairview. Another benefit for Legacy Community Health Services and Assisters through the Coronation. Kindred Spirits Committee invites you to the 7th Annual Kindred Spirits Celebration, April 26th. You can go to kindredspiritshouston.org. The beneficiaries are Sisters, Bearing Support Network, Houston Buyers Club, and the Lesbian Health Initiative. There'll be a softball tournament on Saturday, March 8th. The 9th, there will be at the Bacotto's for an After AIDS Walk Disco Brunch. Bottomless Mimosas and Bellinis. And on March 16th at Chances for a Cookout. Same thing, different page. My God, we're going back to a recess again?
Did you say March 16th or April 16th, darling?
Now she's got to think. She doesn't do that well.
As I should have said last month, don't go to the instant replay. Once again, the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star Inc. Houston proudly presents Hoedown by Imperial Prince Falcon. Does he ever go home?
No.
That's why Cheer Dude was smiling. On May 5th at the BRB, 2500 Brazos.
2400 Brazos, dear.
It says 2500 on
it. Well, it's 2400.
Across well, from specs, anyway.
Across from the big rabbit in the sky.
2500 would be across the street. Would end up being specs.
No, 2401 would be specs.
Hey, it's the BRB. If you don't know where the hell it's at, get a life.
File 13.
Can't read that one.
Hey, I caught on here when the event was an Easter event.
Oh. Yeah.
I woke up.
Fire Jimmy's secretary.
Something about Cindy Lauper, B-52s, and Rosie O'Donnell.
Uh-oh.
Are they coming to Houston? Hey, Jimmy, get a highlighter. Maybe something in pink.
Yeah.
She's probably coming to Houston. I mean, George Michaels is coming to Houston. Let's see, here we go. Houston. Houston, yes. June 21st. Yeah, Cindy Lauper's going to the Cynthia Wood Mitchell Pavilion.
Suburbia.
And George Michael is going to Toyota Center. Huh. Be careful when George Michael comes here because, you know, they will be having a lockdown at Memorial Park bathrooms. coming up on Friday, April 18th, Unity Tour 2008 at Super Happy Funland, 3801 Polk Street. The Unity Tour is a talented group of young GLBT hip-hop artists from around the country. One of those is Big Nug. Big Nuggy Nug. Once I download his radio edit version,
okay.
I'm being a good boy.
Is that possible?
No.
Yeah, that's just what I heard. I forgot. You know, hip hop. You need to play the radio edit. I'll put that. We'll play some more of that. Because you got to remember, last year we came on, and after Jimmy and I went to the Homo Hop concert, I was a little weird.
Okay.
A little weird.
Just a little.
I was calling myself Fat Sonny. Salps the Slim Shady.
Now, what was Jimmy?
DJ JC.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that was you thought I opened this show up weird? That one was...
So where can we find that in the archives?
Unfortunately, that one's gone and passed. It only lasts for 30 days. Thank God for a month of 5 months, 5 weeks. Houston Pride Band presents Celebrating Families Children's Concerts. Let the children come.
Is that a Sacred Heart Co-Cathedral?
Free concert at Spots Park. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that is next week. Saturday, April 12th, 1 p.m. Houston Pride Band. Remember, if you can beat it, bang it, or blow it, you belong in a band.
Well, I guess we all belong in a band then.
Heck, you suck.
Yes,
I do.
We offered that as a slogan, and they've never used it.
They're a mouse.
All right, it's time for our quickie. And since Jimmy's not here, we'll probably be a quickie. You know, we're all about the quick release here. And, you know, we want to get it over and done. We don't want to rub anyone the wrong way. Let's leave the stroking to the golf course up in Humble. Oops, lost my
spot. The Woodlands.
Oh, they called it Humble on the radio, or on the TV show earlier today.
Well, they must have made it a big flurb.
It's supposed to be pronounced.
So, the Colt 45s are here.
Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Oh, yeah.
Good to hear you back on the radio again.
Yeah, it was so funny having to sit here.
After a four-week unexplained absence.
I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to say.
You just had a hairball caught.
Hiatus.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I guess Stephen Bunch was out performing his... He said he was going to be conducting a... Norwegian lower colonic massage, and I guess he got kind of hung up there.
Well, just wait till I see.
Don't they do those at Ripcord once in a while?
Now there's burgers and beers in the back today. So, what's going on with the Colt 45s?
Well, not a whole lot, actually, at the moment.
That makes that quick.
Got our next general meeting on Monday, yes. April 21st. That's at 8 o'clock, I believe, at the BRB. We invite anybody to come out, see how we do things. We've got several new pledges currently. The club is growing, and it's good to see it growing again.
Yes, it is.
It's all about the growth.
Courtesy of Bubbles at the helm of membership that... generally makes a club grow. So
my personality.
Something like that. Oh, good thing you can't
see
what he
does. Quit stroking his ego.
Yes. Also, we actually haven't been getting a lot of applications lately for assistance at the AIDS Trouble Fund. So if you know anybody that has what we have affectionately referred to as full-blown AIDS, it's disabled with full-blown AIDS, we have rent and utility assistance available for people, and they can get an application from our website at www.colt45s.org. That's colt45s.org, and you can download there an application for the AIDS Trouble Fund, or you can call our phone number, which I don't remember.
713. No, I can't remember the first three digits, but the last
seven. That's not going to do a whole lot of good either, then. Let's try 713-526-6077. Helps to have the list in front of you. That's 713-526-6077. You can call us, and we'll mail you an application. And we've got money that we're ready to give away for people who are properly qualified for it to receive rent and utility assistance. And let's see, I guess the only other thing we've got...
Hold on. I'm going to also iterate here. I want to thank the crew of Olympus for last weekend. They presented their checks to their beneficiaries, and it was very, very nice. The Colt was one of the recipients, and I was named an honorary crew member. So I want to thank the crew for their generosity to us and the other two beneficiaries that they benefited from their crew ball from a couple of months back.
A couple other community notes, I guess. May 9th through 11th is the Lady Victoria Lust PWA camp out at Buzzard's Peak. And I believe I'm not sure their website, but I'm sure you can go to the for Lady Victoria Lust for the PWA Holiday Charities. So I assume it's pwaholidaycharities.org, but I'm not sure.
Google it.
Yeah, Google it. Anyway, applications there for people with AIDS to have a camping weekend experience for free.
Mother's Day weekend.
Mother's Day weekend, yes. The alternative, of course, is, you know, for those who can't afford it, they do ask a $25 contribution, but that's a contribution. Those who can't, no problem. That's what they're there for. The Colts will be going up there providing lunch on Saturday, and you get away for the weekend, literally away from cell phones and away from
the rat race of the city.
Away from the rat race and up to fresh air, and it's...
And you'll get an opportunity to meet Jimmy Carper.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
You'll be seeing a lot of him there at the event, from what I understand.
Uh-oh.
So to speak.
Huh? And I'm going to be in California that weekend, darn it.
Mm-hmm. And then for those who don't qualify on that side, May 23rd through 25th, the Texas Conference of Clubs is putting on the Lone Star Campout Run. That's Memorial Day weekend. And there are applications through, again, let's see, website. It's texasconferenceofclubs.org, I believe. But Google it to be safe. It's called Lone Star 20 is the name of the event, and it should be a very interesting campout. The property there is about 25 acres of woods in the middle of absolutely nowhere. You're at the end of a three-mile-long dirt road to get to the facility, and it's very away from thing, very private. It'll be basically all gay and all fun for the weekend.
And you'll have a Mr. Miss with a period and a Mrs. Lone Star contest, and then we'll have a special guest performance from my evil twin sister from Dallas, Donna Dumay. She will be there. Too bad she can't hear this, because I'd love to read her on the radio. But it'll be fun, and if it's really a clear night, you can go out in the middle of the field or walk away from the lights, and you can just stargaze for, just see the millions and millions of stars.
You can actually, the Milky Way actually looks milky instead of just a few stars when you're really out in the middle of nowhere like that, so it can be really quite beautiful. One other organization would like to put some plugs in for, and that's the Resurrection Metropolitan Community Church. This Sunday, which means a few hours from now, they're having their Imagine Capital campaign. Actually people that have been participating in this and participating in the prayer event that we did earlier today and so forth will be turning in their pledges to try and we're trying to raise enough money to be able to rebuild the activities building into a community center and make it more usable and more available for everybody. And then the weekend of the 25th through the 27th, Friday night, there'll be a special screening of the movie Call Me Troy about the gay and lesbian activism of Reverend Troy Perry, who was the founder of the Metropolitan Community Churches. Saturday night, there's a special concert at the church. That's April 26th at 7 p.m. And then April 27th, Troy Perry will be preaching here in Houston at Resurrection Metropolitan Community Church in honor of their 36th anniversary as a church. Sound people, I'm sure, will be having fun because the way he speaks, he drives the sound people nuts. But he's quite a speaker.
And also, Dan did not forget to tell you that Resurrection does have two services, one at 9 a.m. for those who want to be up bright and early and then beat the other people to the cafeteria so you can get in line. Then we'll have another one at 11, too. So we have two services, 9 and 11.
9 a.m. isn't early. Back when I was a good Catholic boy,
you
it
probably
was
were
7 a.m.
We were the dawn busters.
Well, it's like my grandpa. Every time we went to see my grandparents in Arkansas, we always had to go to midnight mass, and I wanted to get home so I could go to bed so I could see what Santa Claus brought me. But grandpa always had to go to mass. It was like, come on, it was an hour each way.
So that was the bad part when I was younger, because it was, you know, Saturday night was the pro wrestling from Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And then Channel 39 had the Satanic Movie of the Week.
Right.
And then I had to get up for 7:30 service.
How'd you do that?
I was dragged, you know. I was performing then, you know. I I wore the white dress.
Oh, you were an altar boy.
I was an altar boy.
Oh, okay.
I was never touched, though.
Were you performing?
I am planning a class action lawsuit for altar boys that were not touched. Because I wouldn't have Father Mikey, are you out there?
So that's what goes on those behind those doors when they're closed.
So, yeah, we were the Dawn Busters at St. Iggy's.
St. Iggy's?
St. Ignatius Loyola.
Oh, okay.
We called ourselves St. Iggy's.
All righty.
But enough religion.
Oh, and just a personal message to Stephen, you're in trouble.
You are in big trouble if you're listening to this. If not, you better play the iPod next week.
Okay, let's go have a quick...
Can we do ahead while we're here? Go ahead and let you do your thing for Stella.
Well, I want to do the...
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I want to recap how to get in touch with Cold 45s.
Okay. You can contact us through our website at www.cult45s.org. That's www.cult45s.org. Or our phone number for the AIDS Trouble Fund. Or if you're possibly interested in becoming a member or something like that, you can contact us at 713-526-6077. That's 713-526-6077.
Also, there is a link on the webpage also about the membership. You can click on that link and it'll send you to where you need to go and everything. I always say, you know, I was talking to Stephen earlier today and I said, you know, when people ask me, I say, have a big heart, believe in what we do for our community and everything. You don't have to, he was going to iterate if he was here that you didn't have to wear a black cowboy hat or where, you know, you don't have to learn how to two-step or anything like that. You just need to have a willing, big heart and believe in our community and for what we do for the community, because I've been in it a long time and I kind of really enjoy what we do and just wish I could win the Mega and give them more money to help more.
And on the note of a big heart and giving to the community, during our hiatus, we had a passing in our community. Empress 20, Stella Link Seville, passed away. I'll be honest, I never got much into the courts. Jimmy would have known Stella a lot more.
Well, yes.
Through that, I mean, but Stella was a big part of the community. Stella was Empress 20 for the Empire, the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court, a single star, sister and two tons of fun to Emperor Ronnie Siebert. The big hoot and sister to Empress Ima Hoot of Austin, sister to many and fairy godmother to all, commander and founder of the Royal Order of the Single Star, founder of the Big Girl Posse, House of Pies, the Lone Star Ladies League, the Daughters of Steel Magnolias, Stella's whore to culture, Hot House, the House of Seville, the Castle of Seville, and the Yaya Sisterhood. Gay Pride Pageant Mistress, Miss Chances 99, Chairman of the Garden Party, member of the Bears, Lean on Me Foundation, and the Names Project.
She ran the Mr. and Miss, I don't know.
Gay Pride.
Gay Pride, and that name, that will continue in her honor because she started that and everything. And like I said, I'm going to miss her. She was a dear friend. I mean, when they were sharing today that how if somebody would call her up and say they needed $40, she'd go and pawn something just to make sure that person had it. And I can remember when I was in the court one time and they needed a vote and she hadn't seen me and she walked up to me and she said, here's $5. Make sure you vote. I'm like, Stella, you don't have to do that. I can afford the $5, but she was...
$5 was for dues, not a bribe for the vote.
No, it was to help to, you know, she wanted me to vote.
If you're not current on your dues, here, I'll pay them for you so you can vote.
So I can do this one vote for her. But like I said, she will be missed. And like I said, you know, I never looked at her size. I always looked at her heart. And when I had my problems, she was always there. And she was a big shoulder to cry on. So I'm going to miss her a lot.
And what it was is today at EJ's, there was a garden party. Garden party style remembrance for Stella, and it was her family of choice that celebrated today. The family of birth celebrated
a couple
Elmer,
weeks ago. Yes,
and it was time for the family of choice to say their goodbyes. And
wonderful balloon release, and
it was so nice seeing that there from the. Watching that, but
And thanks to Melissa Flores. She did a wonderful job on that thing and talking about the crackpot that's in that program.
Yes. I'm going to read it.
Go ahead.
We're going to ask. This was a little saying about, I don't know, was it something that Stella...
It was one of her. It was her favorite story.
It was a favorite story of hers.
It's called The Cracked Pot. A water bearer in India had two large pots hanging at the ends of a pole that he carried across his neck. One of the pots was perfect and always delivered a full portion of water at the end of the long walk from the stream to the master's house. The other pot had a crack in it, and by the time it reached its destination, it was only half full. Every day for 2 years, the water bearer delivered only one and a half of the pots of water to the master's house. Of course, the perfect pot was proud of its accomplishments, perfect to the end for which it was made. The poor little cracked pot was ashamed of its imperfections and miserable that it could only accomplish half of what it had been designed to do. After 2 years of what the imperfect pot perceived as bitter failure, it spoke to the water bearer and said, "I am ashamed of myself, and I want to apologize to you." "Why?" asked the bearer. "What are you ashamed of?" "Well, for these past 2 years, I've been able to deliver only half a load of water each day because of this crack in my side allows water to leak out all the way back to the master's house. Because of my flaws, you have to do all this work without getting the full value of your efforts," the pot said. The water bearer felt sorry for the old cracked pot, and in his compassion he said, "As we return to the master's house, I want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the way." Indeed, as they went up the hill, the old cracked pot noticed the beautiful wild flowers on the side of the path. But at the end of the trail, it still felt bad, because half of its load had leaked out once again. Then the bearer said to the pot, "Did you notice that there were flowers only on your side of the path and not the other pot's side? That's because I've always known about your flaw and took advantage of it by planting flower seeds on your side of the path. Every day, as we walked back from the stream, you watered those seeds. And for 2 years I have picked these beautiful flowers to decorate my master's table. Without you being just what you are, he would not have had this beauty to grace his house." And now, as they ended the ceremony tonight, Stella's commandment.
"And I am telling you, I'm not going. You're the best man I'll ever know. There's no way I can ever go. No, no, there's no way. No, 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 no way. I'm living without you. I'm not living without you. I don't wanna be free. I'm gonna love me.
We love you, Stella. We'll miss you.
Whoops. Darn YouTube started playing it over again. That was for Stella Link Seville. It's time now for Hatch. Are y'all over your...
That was quite a performance in here.
Apparently, that's what happens when you when you know you're playing a song like that. And apparently, one was taken over by the show tune aspect, and one was taken over by the black female performance in there.
Mm-hmm. It was quite something.
Yeah, we'll leave it at something.
Oh wow! Thank you, thank you, thank you.
It's time now for Hatch.
Hello, hello to everyone out there. This is Hatch, and we have co-presidents of the steering committee here. My name is Aja.
I'm Josh.
And we're here tonight. And we first want to give a big shout-out to PFLAG. We love PFLAG.
Yes, PFLAG, they help with, basically it's the parents and friends of lesbians, parents, families, and friends of lesbians and gays, and we like PFLAG because it provides a place for our family and our friends to go for emotional support.
Yes, and that's the whole community, not just lesbians and gays. They have support for bi people, trans people, everyone. You know, looking for a little love and a little help and acceptance. PFLAG is there, as well as Hatch.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So, the Hatch number, for anyone interested, is 713-529-3590. So, Hatch is a nice place to come, hang out, meet some new people.
Ooh. Oops, sorry.
Naughty, naughty Brandon. And the number for PFLAG is 713-467-3524. Again, I repeat, 713-467-3524. And the number for Hatch is 713-529-3590. And just a little shout out for Hatch. I think it was a week before, maybe spring break week. We Hatch went to NASA.
Yes, yes, they did.
That was a fun little outing.
Yes, me and Aja, we wanted to go, but I couldn't make it because of schedule conflicts. Let's just say they went the week that that basically most people have off. I had the week before off, so I was like, oh, I can't go. So yeah.
And I just forgot. I was just so busy spring break week and looking for jobs and, oh, I got a new job. But, yeah, and so Hatch is also planning a trip to the zoo, which is, oh, so much fun. I love the animals.
We actually plan on going to the zoo coming up. I believe it's the 26th, but I'm not sure. But it's basically what we plan on doing. Anyone who wants to sign up for, who wants to go to the zoo with us, but you basically have to be a youth between the ages 13 and 21, you can sign up at Hatch. Basically, when you go to Hatch, you can sign up there. Also, we're doing a lot of things. We're trying to get get out of our regular building and just going out there and doing more field trips. So we're excited about this. So
yeah, get the community in Hatch and Hatch back out in the community.
Yes, exactly.
So yeah, we're doing our little outings, doing our thing. So mm-hmm. This evening, someone raised a really good question to us, mm-hmm. and we thought it'd be nice to discuss it. Someone came up to Josh and myself and asked us, you know, if we really wanted to tell kids that it's okay and safe to be out. And Josh and I have differing opinions on this. And Josh, why don't you start?
Well, I think it's okay to be out. If I think it's okay to be out, basically, if you're in a safe environment. If you're not in a safe environment, I ask you to wait wait out until you are in a safe environment. If you're still living at home with family and you don't think they'll take it very well, or you know that they won't take it well at all, I would suggest that if you don't have anybody else basically to depend on, I would suggest that you basically not lie about yourself, but basically wait until you are self-reliant. It's okay to be out if you're in a bigger city, and it's also okay to be out if you're in a smaller city, but just know your surroundings. Just know your surroundings, because sometimes if you're out in a smaller city or a smaller town, it can be a little bit more difficult for GLBT people, basically anybody. And it was like I was saying last month, basically we don't want anybody to get hurt, but at the same time we don't want anybody
you don't want them to get hurt.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just very difficult to know your surroundings and know who you should and who you shouldn't come out to.
Well, I mean, I agree with that, you know, coming from a small town. But, I mean, unless you have a family that is just a bunch of, you know, racist gay bashers or something, you know, I think it is safe to come out to your family, you know, unless they're, you know, some Nazi nutcase or something. And I agree, if you know you are in a small suburban town, you know, 50-100 miles away from, you know, the nearest city, then you might want to rethink that. But I mean, if you have a safe family life, if you do have that family support system or close relatives, you know, some sort of, you know, backbone that is, you know, at least relatively safe, then I think it's fine. Now, as if you do live in a metropolitan area like Houston, it's pretty safe to say there is a gay community. And even in some small towns, you can find some gay bar somewhere where you can, you know, get some kind of help, even if it is, you know, some dingy gay bar. But I just think that, you know, in this day and age, you still have a lot of gay bachelors out there. You still have a lot of negative people out there just looking for an excuse to show hatred to someone for any type of difference they may have. But I think it's safe to say that although we're not getting as much support as I think we should or could get, we are coming closer and closer to acceptance.
Yes, exactly. But at the same time, we're not, you hear about the gay and lesbian hate crimes, but you rarely ever hear about the transgender hate crimes. It's a sad part of the news, basically, when we hear about a trans member of our community basically being assaulted in any way because they didn't pass. I remember there was a situation where somebody had this, like, a friend of mine was in a restaurant, and so she knew how she noticed that this one man basically that he had a female body almost. But his facial features and everything looked very masculine. And as soon as that man felt something, he knew that somebody had realized that he was a trans FTM. And so as soon as he basically was in line, he got out of line and then just walked out of the store.
Oh, wow.
It's not for gay and lesbians and bisexuals, it's easier to hide. But for the transgender people, in our community, it is not as easy to hide, especially for what I've heard from a trans activist called Josephine Titzwell. She talked about how it's a little bit harder for MTFs to hide because of their features, but it just astonishes me how unjust our society is, just because these people are trying to be who they want to be the person that no matter what, just because the person is going to be another sex does not mean that they are a completely different person. Just, it doesn't mean that they aren't a human being at all. And the thing is, some people don't view them as humans once they make that decision, which I don't think is a decision at all. But that is just my opinion. So,
it is truth, Josh. Humans are humans, you know, no matter what they, how they identify, what they want to call themselves, how they want to dress, you know, I mean, it's just the way our society is, unfortunately. Any, you know, sort of differences, we get scared, and when people are scared, they lash out, and they sometimes do very ignorant things, mm-hmm. like, you know, attack someone. But, I think with more exposure, we are getting closer to acceptance. But, yeah, there are, unfortunately, a lot of poor trans people who just bear the brunt of it. You know, in my town where I'm from, Henderson, we have all of one out person. Not myself, because I'm not out in that town, but there's this one trans woman, and I can't remember her name, but basically everyone still calls her he, and basically how he messed up his life and all that, and I'm not sure if he still lives in that town or not, but and unfortunately, you know, he's the only out person, she's the only out person, so there's really, you know, no one else can say that. They just really don't have enough exposure to really form any accurate opinion of anyone that's queer, you know.
Exactly.
So, but it's pretty sad. But I think if you're living in a sort of a big city, you know, there's some sort of gay community there, then I think you should go for it.
Yes, exactly.
But if you are in some small little hick town or some suburban town, like the little suburban town we live near, you know, where no one will even go to Gay Week, I'd say be careful.
Well, you know, unfortunately, we're actually talking about a group of people that aren't just the Nazis in, among us, or the people who are the right-wing nutcase parents, but very reasonable, Christian, church-going, moderate to even liberal parents will have that shock effect, will have that, oh my God, not my child, reaction when they find out that one of their kids may be gay or lesbian or transgendered. So it's not just the people marginalized that we think are the crazies and the nutcases and the hate mongers. Sometimes people, and I think this is especially true in a small town, relatively good people will have a, oh my God, reaction to their child coming out. Not all, but I think some. So I think it's easy, and it's almost wishful thinking to say it's only the right-wing Nazis among us that would have that reaction. And unfortunately, I don't think that's true.
Well, you know, I'd have to say you're right. And I think the reason for that is, it is one thing to say, oh, I'm liberal, I'm for gay rights, and then actually have someone you know, especially your own child, come out to you.
I mean, you would think that a parent would be more accepting. And actually, I think they are. But there are those out there who, at least initially, and maybe even long term, will have that, oh my God, you know, you brought shame on our house, on our name, what are my
friends at church going to say about me? And the flip side of that is maybe not even the anger, but the sadness of thinking, having that old mentality that gay people won't ever be happy, they won't have a fulfilled life, they'll never have anyone, a partner, like they would if they were straight, supposedly, ignoring the divorce rate statistics. But there'll be a sadness that somehow they will be missing out. So, and I think the sadness is not as bad as the potentially being kicked out of the house, you know, having your college funds being cut off, which we've seen at Hatch. You know, just in the last several years, the last 2 years, I've known youth that have been kicked out of their home by their parents because they're gay. And, you know, that's just shocking. I think people today would find that shocking because there seemed to be more acceptance for gay and lesbians and transgendered youth.
I think it's because, you know, it's more on TV now. You know, we're sort of fashionable and so we're a little more glamorized than how we actually are. Of course, nothing on TV is ever real. But it's I guess it's still, you know, different when it hits home, I guess. Like I know for myself, my wife, my other is of mixed race and as an African American woman, it still upsets me a little when I see, you know, mixed couples. And I have no idea why that is. I think it's still sort of just the taboo of you can't find, you know, someone of your own race, and, you know, and here I am with a mixed person. And when I first met, I was only looking for someone of my race, but then we met and we clicked, and so it's like la 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 happiness. But I still have that little twinge every now and again. And I think because I know my grandmother, she's very accepting of me as a lesbian, but she still occasionally says things like, you know, bulldagger, and, you know, just sort of the way she was raised, you know, that's what you call someone, and you call a guy a fairy. And even though she's always been accepting of me and loves me, she's not as supportive as I would like, but she's still very accepting. But she's still, that's just her mindset and sort of how she was programmed, I guess, and how we were all sort of programmed to think and how that it is.
What do you say to her when she says something, uses a derogatory term like that in front of you?
I just tell her the correct vernacular.
Well, that's good. I mean, there's a family dynamic. Sometimes you just don't correct the grandmother or the grandfather. You know, it depends. But well, yeah, that's good that you can have that conversation with her.
Yes.
Or you can.
Yeah, I'm happy that your grandmother's like that. During Christmas, this Christmas, I went to my grandfather's. I went to my grandfather and my grandmother. They live with my aunt, and so I go to Katy, where they live, and I have two aunts that live in Katy. So we go and have Christmas dinner, and then I go over to my other aunt's house. And so basically we're talking and everything. And my grandfather, if you've heard previous sections before, previous shows, basically my grandfather, he is he's an alcoholic, and he was like, Josh, come talk to me. And I was the only one that I was like I felt kind of trapped. I was like, but and so I went and I talked to him. And basically, we were talking, and he's like, you know, it's not your fault that you're gay.
Wow.
And he was like, and I was like, okay. And my aunt was like, come talk to me. And I didn't want to be like, let me just pick up this conversation later and just walk away, because I didn't want to hurt his feelings, because he's one of those people that everybody. Basically, in that family, they're always like, shut up to him, because he always has to have his two cents. And so he keeps on talking, and I'm like, okay. And so he's like, well, and he starts, quote, he was an educated man. He was a very educated man. And so he was like, he's like, well, this is why you're gay. Basically, wow. Instead of two testicles, you have an ovary and a testicle.
Oh, my gosh.
And
that doesn't sound very educated to me.
And then he was like, and you know those lesbians, they, instead of two ovaries, they have testicles. And I was like, oh my goodness, grandfather.
Wow. Oh my god, where was he educated? Did y'all ever watch The Golden Girls? It sounds like it's a St. Olaf school where, you know, people have everything turned upside down. That's not an educated thought. I mean,
I guess it was educated back in the day.
Maybe it was
back
when he was talking.
1850s?
But he actually quoted the person and everything. I was like,
oh, it sounds, you know what, it sounds like it's like, I mean, I don't know from what political perspective your grandfather comes from, but it sounds like it comes from one of those right-wing radical machines.
Isn't he an Irish Catholic?
He's Irish, but he's not Catholic. I don't think he's any denomination at all. I think my grandmother's more religious than him, but once my aunt and my grandmother heard that, they basically were like
shocked.
There was a hush over the room for 2 seconds, and he went on, and my grandmother and my aunt were like, shut up. And so they're like, Joshua, you they came and got me, and they were like, you sit down right here.
Wow.
And he's like, well, I was just trying to tell him what he could have a surgery to correct that.
Oh my gosh. So we went from a potentially nice, maybe, depending on if you close one eye and stood on one leg, comment to the secret agenda item.
Yes, basically.
Maybe it was the booze talking.
Oh, yeah, maybe, I don't know. I love him, but it's like, I'm like, I just go around there if I need him to fix my car.
Oh,
and
wow.
And that's it.
That is funny.
But I've heard different things, like, from my family. I've heard from, like, I've never been called, like, I've been called, like, let's see.
Fairy?
No. I've been called fruitcake.
Because you're sweet.
Yeah, I've been called fruitcake. It's like a bunch of things. It's like, gay guy. but that's just the fruitcake's my grandmother. She's like, oh, you're such a fruitcake. and then my cousins, they say gay guy. And my cousin's nickname is Gay Bob.
Gay Bob.
And he's like five. He's cute. He doesn't know what things mean. It's just a thing. And so, but the other thing that is when they talk to each other, I have five cousins. I have five male cousins, and they're all from one aunt. And so basically, it's all from one aunt, and they're all male. So basically, they range from the age of about 4 to 5 to 12. And the way that they speak to each other, it's like, it's horrible. It's in derogatory language. We're talking like, hey, faggot, and they talk like that. And I'm like, I'm just absolutely flabbergasted.
Wait, they call you hey, faggot?
No.
Each other.
I had the second oldest say that to me. His mother, she looked at him. And I swear, it looked like she was about to backhand him, like there was no tomorrow. But she's like, you don't talk to your cousin that way. And so, but my family, they're very defensive. They're like, well, if you talked to him that way, we're going to mess you up.
Wow.
Yeah.
I need to step in real quick. I gotta see if I remember how to do this. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, for listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
I think that was pretty good.
I swear, as soon as I was ready to say it, I was like, I don't remember. It's been a whole month, and I couldn't. I guess it's like the same thing, you know, you step into church, you remember those prayers you had to say as a kid. So, hey, we're legal. And the yellow light hasn't gone off yet, so.
Oh, then we're good.
It's all gravy.
And mashed potatoes. That was an attempt
and
at
mashed
a
potatoes is like, okay. But also, what else did we want to talk about?
Well, I want to go back to the original question of the person who came to ask you, is it okay to be out and gay if you're youth? Mm-hmm. And we talked about family, and I think that's the biggest concern, is making sure that you have your shelter, your food, your clothing, and college paid for, if that's appropriate, because you can have all of that taken away. But what about in the high schools? What about in the junior high nowadays? Because some of our listeners have been out of school for some time, and some of them may be listening and deciding, do they want to take that step? Maybe they're in school now. Maybe they're in high school. Maybe they're in junior high. What is it like to be in school today and be gay or a lesbian?
Well, we're in college, so.
Well, yeah. We're not going back that far.
Our experiences?
Well, come on. I mean, a few years.
Okay.
I mean, going back 2 years is not that big of a leap.
It's like high school for me, it was just gravy. It was just.
Where'd you go to high school? Or small town, big town, the area?
It was. I'll just say the area. I'll just say a mall that it's located around. It's Memorial City Mall.
Okay.
I did not go to Memorial. I went to this high school, like, right down the street from Memorial City Mall. So I'll let y'all pick up on that.
So it's in the Houston area.
Yeah, it's in the Houston area. I was called faggot once, and everybody in the school was like, what? And so other than that, but middle school, that was more harder, because that was when everybody was gossiping. Like, for me, it just seemed like everybody had to pick at me.
Yeah, were you out in middle school, or were people beginning to pick up on the social norms that you might be different, you might be gay?
They were picking on the social norms, because at the time I wasn't out. I didn't come out until my midway through junior year.
Okay.
But at the time I didn't realize I was very asexual.
Sure, that's how I was
for
too.
For the most part. So basically they were like, well, you're gay, and we know it. And then I remember there was this one kid, and he was the worst out of all of them. And so I went to school, and the high school and middle school that I went to, they're right next to each other, so you can connect the dots again. Basically, it was just this one kid, and he was really awful. He was a real awful kid. And, but it was just something, that he felt like he had to do. And so I remember this one time that I went to class, and he was just, he came up to me and he just started on this assault. It seemed like he already had it planned out. And so all I could do was just stand there. And he was like, the teacher, she had walked out. And so basically he just started on this barrage of words that, some of them I hadn't heard before, but it was like brand new vocabulary that I had never heard before. Like, he was like, all these words, it's just all these words that were just profanity towards me, putting me down. He was like, you faggot. And then it was just a barrage of words. And I remember at one point, I just got to the point where I just made myself numb, where I just shut myself down, where I just couldn't take it anymore. And
this is when you're in middle school and when you haven't even come to understand that you're gay yet.
Yes. And he was just kept on going for about 5 to 10 minutes. And so
maybe he had some self-hatred issues.
Possibly.
Some internalized homophobia issues.
Well, let me get to that. What was happening? He just kept on yelling. And so at one point I snapped. I just snapped. I couldn't hold it. I just couldn't hold it in anymore. I picked up a chair and I almost flung it at him. The teacher walked in just as soon as I was about to fling it at him. And so she's like, put the chair down. And luckily she was one of my favorite teachers. And so she's like, put the chair down. It's all going to be okay. And so at the time, right as soon as I was about to fling the chair, the bell rang. And so he walked out and everything. That was basically the only time that was really bad. But just throughout middle school, I would have these experiences. But high school, this is a piece of cake.
And you were out in high school?
Not until my junior year.
Okay.
Until my junior year. People were always asking me, they were like, so are you gay? So basically, when I did come out, everybody was like, oh, we already knew that.
Yeah.
That's funny.
We didn't care. Because I remember I was like midway through my sophomore year. That was when my freshman sophomore year, they were like, well, do you believe that gay couples should be allowed to get married? And I was like, yes, I do believe that. And everybody was like, ooh.
Oh my god.
And so then I came out and everybody was like, oh, big deal. And it was just all great. And then the guy that actually picked on me, about freshman year, he came out. And so it was just like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just a thing that most of the time, if they really truly hate you and they're really picking on you, it's probably because at the same time they're trying to discover themselves, and because they need somebody to put down because they don't want to put themselves down.
Actually, there is some, and I won't bore you with it, although it's very interesting. There's some psychological testings and measurements and things that they've done to actually lead credence to that thought that mm-hmm. that people who overreact that way in terms of very negative hatred, that there's actually some simulation going on, and there's this hidden gay thing going on with them. What about you? What was your high school, junior high experience being? Oh, first of all, were you out?
I was out in middle school and in high school. In sixth grade, I came out. I went to Catholic school, and oh yeah, the Catholic school girls. Oh, it's all true. Well, we were in religion class, and homosexuality came up.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what was said or whatever, but I remember saying, you know, I know because I'm gay.
Wow, that is huge. That shows a lot of strength and courage.
Yes, and the day after I said it, I regretted it. I was like, oh wow, I really, where did that come from? And so it was the talk of the school, and it was like a small school with maybe like 70, 80 kids.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And so 100 at the most. And it was a lot of questioning. It's like, oh my god, you're really gay, you're really gay, you're really gay. And of course the teachers all thought it was a phase and everything, but I had never seemed to outgrow that phase. And
It was a lot, you know. I had, you know, the boys saying stuff to me like MJ, I'm gay, or little things like that, and just little stuff like that, and not too much negativity, but it was just something that was just always talked about. And when I got to high school, I was not out my freshman year, but I told one person, who I don't think told anyone else, but I was seeing this one girl. I don't know how it got around. I think, frankly, there was this one girl who I was trying to hide it, so I was with this guy who I found out later, like 2 years later, was gay too. And and this girl liked him, and she just hated me. She was like, I don't know why he likes her. I don't know why he's with her. I don't know, see why people like her, and da-da-da, and she's so ugly, and she's this. And she spread rumors about me that I performed oral sex to a guy in this building and oral sex to a girl in this other building, and so that's why everyone thought I was gay. Mm. And so my sophomore year, I came out, and it was just no big deal, because at that time, everyone was bi. I mean, everyone, every guy, every girl, everybody was bi, and I had maybe one person call me a dyke, and she just said it to see what I would say. I did nothing. It was nothing. And the rest of the year, I was out, and it was just no big deal, because you had a lot of gay girls, and you had a lot of bi girls, so it was really nothing. You were somebody else.
And I think, you know, I've been affiliated with Hatch for 7 or 8 years now, and from when I started to now, we've seen younger and younger youth identify themselves as GLBT. And just in the 8 years that I've been involved. Mm-hmm. So, and I think we touched on a little bit, the social norms are changing. Mm-hmm. There seems to be this new idea about it's okay now to be GLBT or GLB.
Oh, and this one thing I want to say. There's this one girl who used to call my girlfriend and I back in middle school dykes and this and that. And turns out, I found out a couple of years ago that she's bisexual. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And she got a lot of crap in high school for hanging around with her girlfriend and everything, which it's just poetic justice.
Yeah.
And I'm just laughing and laughing and laughing. So, I mean, I am not saying gay bashing is okay, but, I mean, she did it to us, so she's just getting what she sowed.
Just basically karma?
Yes, karma. Karma is a you-know-what, so be nice to people.
You know, I mean, who was the person that asked you this? Was this a...
Oh, some guy that hangs out here.
Was a youth, older person?
Oh, older guy.
Older guy, okay.
Yeah.
That's an interesting question. Because you don't know where they're coming from, you know, what their perspective was. And maybe it was more of a question just to get information, you know.
I think so. Well, or just give us something to talk about.
Yeah, sure.
I want something to talk about. So, another note, something we wanted to touch on. Nancy Ford, if you're listening, hi.
Oh, my goodness.
Everyone that knows me knows I'm a major supporter and lover of Nancy Ford. She was at Hatch last week, and she basically just taught us to appreciate and to learn and know our history and to respect those who paved the way so that we can just walk around, you know, with little rainbow jewelry and be all cute. And I think she definitely was a pioneer in that. You know, when there were no really big lesbian comedians out there, she was there, and she wouldn't, you know, play for clubs that, you know, made the AIDS jokes and all that stuff, because that was her time. And, you know, so many of our people were just dying like flies, her quote, you know, by AIDS. And it was pretty sad. So she would basically play to gay audiences where she wouldn't have to hear that kind of stuff, you know. And she was amazing, and she was there, and she read some of her articles, and she told about her history, which, looking at Nancy Ford, I cannot believe she was married to a man. I'm like, sweetie, I'm glad you saw the light, though. That's all that matters, that she eventually saw the light. So, but, no, she was really amazing. She definitely touched some hearts. She was really amazing, and she signed our Outsmart books, and she was sweet to bring some, and she was amazing. So, thank you, Nancy, for coming and educating those who didn't already know all the things you've done for us. But of course, I knew. So. But no, but she's amazing. Funny woman. She's always on. Just with the jokes. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I was just happy to finally get to see her face to face. And
oh, well, good for you. Good for your years of stalking have paid off.
That is not even funny, Josh.
I believe it's funny.
I can't believe you said that.
You know I love you.
Yeah. But Nancy, if you're out there, just give me a call. My number's 713.
No! 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 That is... No! Bad, Aja. Bad.
It's okay to have a little crush.
I think it's cute, but giving your number out on public radio?
It was a joke.
Unless it's the rejection hotline. Then it might have been... No.
Oh, I'm not rejecting. I'm accepting.
But we wanted to thank her for doing that with
us. Yes, yes. Thank you so much, Nancy.
We also wanted to talk about gay leadership. In our community, basically in all communities, we see how the older leadership is basically dying out, which in some communities it's a good thing, such as the Reformed Christian Right. Their leaders are dying out, and so they're wondering if there will be people to basically take, if basically the youth will take up the reins. But the gay community, we're hoping that nobody will take over the reins in that. But at the same time, it's happening to the gay community, in the fact that as our leaders grow older, as the people that we truly respect and have been leaders in this community for over 30 to 40 years, as they grow older and basically perish, are there going to be anybody to stand up and basically take the reins?
Hell yeah, me.
Well, it's one thing to say something, but at the same time, are we going to have people that are just going to be there for this community? It just amazes me at how it seems like our movement is slowly, in some ways, it's dying out.
I don't want to say just... I want to brag a little bit. Because we've had a lot of people, a lot of youth, leave Hatch. We call it Hatch Out.
Mm-hmm.
Who've gone on to do things that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. One that comes to mind immediately is Tara. Of course, you know, some people in here will remember Tara.
I know Tara.
Tara, of course. Tara. She's. I refer to certain people as Hatch legends. And Tara is a Hatch legend. Well, she went on to be very involved in the Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. In fact, it actually is my program that I started when I was more involved. She was a Hatch youth who served on their board of directors as a leadership intern. And so she had the same responsibilities as a board member. She just didn't vote. She served on committees. She entered into debate. She did all that. That was part of our program, to take certain Hatch youth and put them in leadership roles in other gay and lesbian transgendered organizations, so that when they left Hatch, they would be they'd have another organization to go to. And also would give them leadership mm-hmm. training, like hands-on real leadership training. Some kids get student council in high school. You know, we'll put them on a board of directors somewhere with Hatch. So she served in that capacity and went on and held several leadership positions within the chamber. And I was really proud of her for that, because that she embraced that whole experience. And I think she really turned it into an advantage for her, because she really got to meet people in the community outside of Hatch and really made a name for herself. But and that's one thing that I think that you as Hatch youth or anybody can do, is just find something you're kind of interested in and just kind of check it out. I promise you, there's an organization out there somewhere. But I was really proud, because I think that's Tara kind of carved out a niche for herself, and she did it through Hatch. I thought that was kind of neat. So, a shout out to Tara.
Yes. No, but that, I think, is a road. I mean, I think we sort of... I won't say all, but I think, well, certainly for our generation, we just, you know, we're happy just being, you know, for the most part, we don't, you know, we can safely walk the streets most of the time, not all of the time, but for the most part, at least in the neighborhood anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think we've just sort of got a little sense of security, and we feel that, I don't know, we've just sort of become, what's the word, just sort of satisfied the way things are. And I don't think our generation realizes that you sort of have to work to maintain that. And you can also work to make it better. I mean, people died just so you can walk down the streets with your little rainbow jewelry on and be all cute and gay and everything. It's like, you know, you sort of have to work to get those kind of freedoms, which is really sad. But you do have to work to maintain that sort of security and work to make it better. I mean, I definitely want the next generation to have it better than I have. I think I have it good, but I know it can be so much better. I think people just don't really realize that. So, but I think, you know, in Hatch, you can sort of get some nice little leadership skills and have a sense of history, as Nancy Ford taught us. And I think there are some people who are really, you know, working to do that. I am a social work major, and I definitely intend on, you know, after I graduate and maybe even get a master's, maybe do some things with Hatch, you know, become like Deb's number two go-to gal or something, and, you know, among other things. But I think a few of us have that, and I think, you know, if a few sort of instill that into some others, we may be able to continue on.
Yes. I feel the same way, but it just seems to me I've been out there, but I don't see as many youth just jumping up and taking and just saying and just being part of our community. It seems like we gladly say we're gay if we're in the community, but as we go out of the community, we don't say anything about it. Occasionally, if somebody mentions it, we'll say it. But it doesn't seem to me like somebody's going to be like, well, this is, I go to this organization, I go to this organization, and I help out with these organizations. It seems like the older generation does that a lot. But with the new generation, it just seems like they aren't doing it as much. Maybe it's because they feel like we can just blend in now. Because we're part of society. Everybody knows about us. But at the same time, if we don't have anybody to talk about the injustices that our people have struggled in the past, talk about what makes us, in effect, we could just disappear. Our unique identity, what makes us, could just blend in with everything else. And the thing is, we should be proud of who we are. Not only because we're gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender, but because we are different. We all are different. And no matter who you are, you can make a difference. I know I can make a difference. I know Aja can make a difference. But if it's just me and Aja, how much of a difference can we make?
Exactly. And, you know, I noticed that in Hatch. You know, we have people that come and they have fun, but no one wants to join steering committee and no one really wants to take initiative. And it's like, you know, well, you have to do some work to, you know, get all the fun stuff. You know, people seem to only care about going to the bars and going and have fun and being cute and partying. But, you know, there's a lot that comes with having that territory. You know, there has to be some initiative taken so you can have all that fun cutesy stuff, you know. And like a few weeks ago, Lone Star Sci-Fair College had a gay week, and my friend Misha, hey Misha, she her and, you know, the couple of other members of like the gay club, I guess you could say, organized this, and she was like hounding people she knew, the gay people she knew, the straight people she knew, should come, just hounded them with emails and text messages and calls. And most of the people that came were just people that she didn't hound with, you know. Mm-hmm. Josh and I went, and it was really awesome. There was this really great discussion that we will have to talk about another time. Mm-hmm. But and it's like, you know, there's small gay community in Cyprus, but there is one, and...
Honey, and you've got a Cyprus queer and a Willowbrook queer here in the studio tonight.
And Josh and I live about 10 minutes from Cyprus, and yes. We took the drive out there, and... You know, I just noticed it was a mixture of gay people and straight people, but for the most part, it was a lot of white straight people. The discussion was led by a white, 6'4", heterosexual male who had a very good perspective and kept things, you know, mutual and cordial, and it was really interesting. But what she blogged about was the fact that, you know, most of the people she hounded did not come. Most people that came were outsiders that, you know, didn't go to the college or weren't part of the gay club, which is interesting. It's like, you know, hello, we should have gays for gay rights, you know, which is really sad. And you have gay people that are against same-sex marriage that just, you know, want to blend in. A certain person, I will not say who, but was in Pride Houston, her whole agenda was about us sort of blending into society, you know. It's like, well, what if, you know, some of us don't want to become the norm. You know, I, for one, do not want to live in some big $100,000 house in suburbia with my grill and be just like everyone else. Some of us do not want to blend in. I love gay guys in buttless chaps, you know? There's a time, there's a time and a place for everything. If I want to paint my upper body rainbow and walk around naked in the Pride Parade, I should be able to do that.
Yeah, we usually, we have the Pride Parade annual topic. Has it been, have we sanitized it too much?
I think we have. Yeah. Because I wanted to walk around naked, topless, with my breast-covered rainbow, and they would not let me.
It's against the law, sweetie. It's against the law.
No, we can't. I just have to have my nipples covered, and I plan on painting clouds over them.
Okay.
Not to take it too much, there are street legal things you can do that you can't do at the Pride Parade. Let's just put it that way.
Wow. Okay. No, but the whole thing with the people now, I'm not going to name any names, but they know who they are. They all want us to sort of just blend in with society, and so we no longer have a face.
Well, I think the goal is to be able to have both of those things. I think the goal is for people to, in suburbia, be able to be out and be gay, and it be the norm, and it be okay.
I think maybe maybe it's just like, well, we want to be prideful. We want to have our icons, but at the same time, we don't want to be like, just be grouped all together.
That's right.
With everybody else. We want to claim that we're different in some way. But at the same time, we want to be like, if somebody hears us, be like, here's like, be like, oh, she's a lesbian. Be like, oh. That's no big deal. That's how we want to feel like.
Exactly.
It's no big deal. But at the same time, at least you're acknowledging that we are different. And it's just that it's very difficult for me because right now, me and Aja, we're help planning the prom, the Hatch prom. And right now, it's just me and her and two other people planning the prom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to Deb, the person that runs Hatch.
Program coordinator.
Yes. And so basically, she was like, well, if nobody's going to help out, then what she was like, well, if we aren't going to have people to help with the, help call the caterers and stuff like that, then she was like, well, I'm not opposed to just putting a bag of chips and some dip there and just be like, well, this is your prom.
Yeah.
And just to show how if we don't have people except me and Aja and two other people do anything, well, be like, well, you didn't do anything with the prom.
You know, apathy is an interesting concept because that's really what we're talking about. People just being whatever. Is it a matter of them just not caring or maybe it's just not their strength and not their thing?
I think it's maybe some of both. You know, I think people just I mean, there's always someone who does the job. And I figure, well, if there's always someone else doing the job, all I have to do is just sit here and enjoy it. You know, it's really not my bag. I wasn't as active in Hatch last year, but I did go to the prom, and there were maybe, like, I don't know, 40, 50 kids at prom,
mm-hmm.
and a bunch of adults there, and I don't know who was on the steering committee, who helped did what, how many people there were, but...
There were 5 people on the steering committee. Basically, last year, it was about 2 to 3 people picking out everything. At the time, I was on the steering committee, but I wasn't an active member because at the time I couldn't get back and forth.
Yeah.
But it was like it seemed like it was the same 2 to 3 people that just kept on running everything.
Unfortunately, as you stay active in organizations, you'll find that that's a theme.
Yes, yes, really.
With some more than others. Some organizations more than others.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's not fair for someone to have to do all the work and do all the heavy lifting, and you just sit there queued on the bench. You know? I mean, I don't know. It's just, I walk around, like, I try to make myself the poster child for Hatch. Anytime I'm out to Cypress and I met a bunch of people and I'm just like, you know, yeah, you should come to Hatch, you know. We'll all carpool to town and, you know, da 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 da. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, you have people that come during the summer and have people that hang out. And it's just, I don't know, when it comes to crunch time, everybody just wants to just sort of slink back and, you know, just watch the magic unfold. Without helping to wave the wand.
That's right. It's just that. I love you, but it just been me basically with the prom. It like with the keychains. You've done the keychains. But I've done everything else. That's how.
Because no one calls me, no one tells me anything, no one asks for my opinion. When I come, you just say, "Okay, we think this. What do you think about this?"
Well, at least we're asking your opinion. We try, okay. But we don't want. We know that you're busy. That's the reason.
But sweetie, when I come, I'm there for that. I'm there to do something. No one says anything to me. So, how you doing? Okay, cool.
But we have meetings before. We'll get into this.
You never
afterwards.
Tell me. Okay, we're going to have a meeting
today.
We'll get
into this after the radio. But
tell me when we have a meeting, and I'll show up. Duh.
Okay.
So, yeah.
You've gone on for too long. I can't do my usual, you know, let me kick on the turn on the music and go in and kick you on the ass. So.
Wow.
Oh,
we've gone past that point in time, so...
Okay.
Just quit the bitch fast.
I know. That's what I was trying to do.
No.
But she just wanted to be like... I was like...
You can't just humiliate someone on the radio and not expect them to say something.
This isn't your first time here.
Wow.
Oh.
Can you feel the love?
See, there are some words that you know how to start censoring on. Let's y'all leave me alone. I'm sensitive.
Okay, well, what?
Get that bleep machine ready. I have some 4-letter words for y'all. Leave. You
No.
We, yeah, and according to this here, the word is dump. We have an 8-second delay, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Our problem we've always had was, you know, when you did it. We did an hour-long segment. It 8 seconds wasn't going to help.
Yes.
So, let's let some people know how they can join this merry little mad circle of Hatch.
Yes. You may call us. Our phone number is
713-529-3590.
And you can call us and basically leave a message. You can even call tonight and leave us a message. It really doesn't matter. We have our meetings at... I'm not going to say where, but we have our meetings on every Friday and Sunday. Our meetings on Friday are from 7 to 10, and our meetings on Sunday are from 6 to 9. But we are excited because soon we will be moving to a new space. And we're happy because that new space will be ours. We own it outright, and it's a great space. But if you call, we'll call you back and basically fill you in on all the information and how you can on how you can come to Hatch.
And you don't have to worry about them. Hey, we're the queer youth group. We need to talk to your son.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
It's not even like...
Hi, I'm John. I'm in algebra with...
Right.
With Jack, you know, that's the sort of thing, you know. It's not like the big email, you know, you're not going to see, the little call ID is not going to come up, queers! there's a little bit of anonymity
for
those of you who aren't.
Out.
Yeah, I remember every time that I get a call from...
A private number?
From a blocked ID. It's usually information about Hatch.
Right.
But they don't call... It's just because I'm steering committee. That's the reason.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the reason why they call me and are like that. But they don't call anybody else unless you're
on... Yeah, not even me, and I'm steering committee, and they don't call me.
Well, I'll be calling you because I'm the phone tree person.
I don't want you to call me. No, but it's not like... some gay recruiting center, like, you know, come join the Navy.
That's what Hatch is, after all.
Hi, I'm here calling for your daughter.
I'm Big Bertha and I drive a rig. No, but it's not even like that. It's not even about being gay. It's just...
That's right.
Yeah. It's about being who you are, and it doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah,
that's right.
We accept
as long as you're between 13 and 20.
Yes, that's
yes. Right. Because
no little kids and no old people.
Yes, exactly. But
old people.
Well, for the older generation, we have a MCC provides a for people, I believe, 15.
That's a good question.
Spry.
Seniors.
Yes.
They're using
seniors.
Yes, it's 60. It's 60 years.
Seniors old. Preparing for
rainbow
years.
Yes. That's right.
There used to be back in the day a group that was at Bering for those who were 21 to 30.
Wow. Gaydar?
Gaydar.
Yeah.
Is it still around?
No.
Oh,
wow. But I know my info.
You know, some Hatch youth that have gotten older and left Hatch have always talked about reviving something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But
yeah, because then we were also teasing when they had they also had an older group there. They were going to call it Graydar.
Graydar. That's cute. And for those older lesbians, we have lesbians over the age of 50. There's Loaf and yours truly. I'm a nice little young thing, but I get invited, and it's so much fun.
What about sisters?
Sisters. That's a volunteer group for assisting lesbians with debilitating illnesses that I am a part of, and it's so awesome. And you don't have to be a lesbian to volunteer and help out.
And see, that's the good thing we have in our community is we're not just bar-centered.
That's right.
We're not just, you know, sex-driven.
Yeah, it seems like we've moved away from that because that's what it used to be.
Yes.
Because,
well, I don't know. But I think there's always been organizations outside of that realm.
Well, I've heard that back in the day that was the only place that you could meet was in a bar.
Oh, yeah.
It was basically your gathering point because that's where you could go in to a dark area and be who you are.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it's one of those things, and, you know, when you get to the point where you can start seeing the inside of the bars, it is like that. You know, I always laughed when I was watching television with my parents, and it was either Nash Bridges, who every once in a while went into a gay bar, or NYPD Blue went into a gay bar for a crime. And I start laughing. They go, what are you laughing at? I go, none of those bars are that well lit. You know, I'm sorry, but, you know, I can see the bar. You know, if you're lucky to see the bartender, it's so dark in there. And, this, you know, a scary thing is going into a place like that during the daylight hours.
It's still that dark.
In the dark, everyone looks hotter.
You may have something there.
Distance and darkness mean beauty. But, you know, and we have that thing. You know, it's one of the things when you're talking about the homogenization or the, you know, of... the Pride Parade. Mm-hmm. It's now the fact you see almost a larger number of churches and religious organizations
exactly.
in the Pride Parade than you do of bars.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's getting to that point where it's where you don't have that sort of thing there. And I work with groups that are you're doing social things and, you know,
mm-hmm.
trying to find some place for someone to be a part of that that's not in a bar structure.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, it's kind of a challenge to try and see where you can to fit in as much of the outside community as possible.
but you do not have to assimilate.
You do not have to give up a part of yourself to just be gay, lesbian, or bisexual.
Or assimilate into the straight community.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's why we say queer radio with attitude.
Oh, yeah. Snap.
No, nothing with three snaps. The only thing with a twist around here is the people, not the show.
Okay. We're perfectly normal around here.
Yeah, that other you know, twist thing, they don't have to worry about what they say or do. But, so, call, what was the Hatchin phone number again?
713-529-3590.
Or if you're on the computer and your parents haven't enabled all those little locks there for that, it's hatchyouth.org.
We should also give out the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender hotline number.
Bibbidi bobbidi boo.
The GLBT hotline. And that number is 713-529-3211. And I always say this, everyone should put that in their phone and program it in. You don't have to put it under GLBT hotline, but program it in because you never know when you might need some kind of assistance or help.
I heard they put you on hold.
Before it was, yeah, there was only staff certain times,
yeah,
and that, but now it's with their moving in with other organizations and all, yeah, that they have someone there answer who can answer it 24/7.
That's right.
And if you need assistance, you may be put on hold while they transfer you to someone who is more qualified.
That's
to
right.
Give you that assistance.
Yeah, I have it as the gay Liz. It's just a long thing to put in your phone.
Gee, yeah, that's the alphabet soup of our community.
Yes.
All right, is that it?
I think we're done.
Yes, I think we're done.
Any shout outs?
And if you say Nancy Ford, I'm just gonna be like, and you best not do what I don't want you to do on air.
Marry me, Nancy. I love you.
You do realize you're talking about a person who replaced a meat and two veggies for $4.99 on a marquee.
Oh my God.
I do not know this person. Who is this Aja that you speak of?
Oh my God. If I catch you after this radio show.
I ain't lying. The marquee was up 1 week for Charlie's Diner, meat and two veggies, $4.99, and then next week she was performing in the club that took over.
She is a legend. She is an incredible talent. And how dare you? How dare you?
I've been around here enough and I've run with her, so yeah, I can make that.
I don't find it funny.
I find it funny.
I don't find it funny. Nancy, it's okay. I will defend your honor. I got him after the radio show.
First of all, let me remind you that comedy is subjective. Not everybody likes everyone else's comedy.
I like it.
I think she's funny.
She
and
is.
Cute.
She's wonderful.
She's a wonderful woman. And if she knew that we had enough respect to make fun of her, I think she would. She laughs at her own.
I'm surprised she doesn't incorporate that into her act. Does she? She should. That's.
She's gonna talk about it. She's gonna be like,
well, if I was thinking more about it, I would play a little Nancy Ford for you.
Oh, please.
No, because you threatened me.
You were talking about the love of my life.
I do not know this person. My name is.
It's cute.
It's Jennifer now.
All right.
I don't know this person.
So, we're going to head out. Thanks for listening.
This is Josh. Well,
we will see you next month, right?
Yes.
Hopefully.
I don't know. You know, someone could come.
And whose fault was that?
Hey, I took.
That wasn't ours.
I took a poll on what music I start with.
Crass.
I put democracy into here.
Your fault.
Did you take that poll?
You should have been playing Nancy's comedy.
I am a poll. I'm also a tool, but yes, I am a poll.
Definite tool.
Okay.
On that note, these were some. Jimmy had left a little bit of words for me.
Oh, nice.
That I think he wanted me to start the show with. So, of course, I'll play the song that has those words in it here in the middle as our little transitional music, if I remember which button to push. I think it's this one. A little standard anthem in our community.
I am what I am. I am my own special creation. So come take a look. Give me the hook or the ovation. It's my world and I want to have a little pride in my world. And it's not a place I had to hide in. Life's not worth a damn till you can say I am what I am. I am what I am. I don't want praise, I don't want pity. I bang my own drum, some think it's noise. From a different angle, your life is a sham. Still, you can shout out. Oh! Deal my own deck. Sometimes the ace, sometimes the deuces. It's one life and there's no return and no deposit. One life, so it's time to open up your closet. Life's not worth a damn till you can shout out, hey!
I forgot to hit continue, so the second song comes on. Oops. Hey, that's what happens when you're gone for a while. You forget what it is. We do have one more song I'm going to play before we bring in the roundtable group. Okay. We've received some sad news today of another passing.
Yes, yes.
It appears that Charlton Heston has gone to the great Roman bath in the sky.
I love you, Spartacus.
So in honor of him, we will play our traditional other funeral dirge.
Ding dong, the witch is dead. The wicked witch. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. Wake up, you sleepy head. Rub your eyes, get out of bed. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. Then ring the bell, now hi-ho, the very old. Sing it high, sing it low. Let them know the wicked witch is dead.
That's for you, you damn dirty ape, as you go shooting off, hopefully in the other regions below, to Charlton Heston. Gone. And hopefully soon forgotten. Yeah, I'm being a bastard, so what? Oh, right.
It's that time of the month, isn't it?
It's always that time of the month.
You want to go get the rest of them for round table?
Yeah. Now that it's safe and clear in here, you know. Okay. We had a little skirmish.
I'll do the patio first, and when I get to the door, I'll let everybody
know. Yeah, I know how you do the patio. it's not Louie. You're listening to After Hours. I'm not going to say the rest of it, because I got to say the rest in a couple of minutes anyway. But, let's see, we played I Am What I Am. the little thing that, little note Jimmy had left for us, for me. I guess it was his little philosophy while he was gone to use of I Am What I Am, and What I Am Needs No Excuses. So, my God, it's a packed house.
Hey. Apparently word got around, we're back on the air.
Good God. We're going to need to look at lubricant to get people in and out of that room.
I have rubber gloves and Crisco at home.
I got dragged in here out of my own will.
Oh, please. That's what they all say. Get in here. We need female perspective this week anyway.
We have virgin for that. Oh, good goddess. You know, the strange thing is this. Last month, we had that many people packed into the room, but...
No, but you had a that time. Remember?
Why are we talking about me, Chris?
Honey, whenever you're in a room, the room is packed.
Always.
Keep them up there. All right.
Oh my goodness. Anywho.
All right. For the record, so that, you know, I'm not the only one who gets fined the $3.25 million.
Let's everybody introduce themselves in the room.
State your name. John Doe number one. John Doe number two.
Rusty Shackleford.
Anastasia Bieberhausen.
I told you about
that's
that.
That's me, thank you.
That's Mr. Ben Dover.
Hey, would you blow me? Spell it out.
Hey, would you blow me?
Anita Bath.
Okay, come on, y'all. We need
that's
to introduce
ourselves. That's version of Anita
Bath. All right. So we've had a lot of stuff going on in the past month that we haven't had the opportunity to discuss. Here, you want to answer that?
Oh, my God.
No, the phone is ringing.
Why am I wearing these headphones? I can't hear anything.
You can't hear anything in there?
No.
Okay.
But what you want to turn it up?
Talk about something here while I...
Oh, there we go.
Okay. Yay.
Yay. Okay, that's better.
Okay.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm telling
whatever
you.
It is, it's
what
live.
Interesting things have gone on.
Okay, interesting things are going on. What are you talking about?
Interesting things are always going on amongst this group. There. Come on, we're an interesting group of people.
Okay, I can do that. Yes.
Freaks, geeks, and uniques all. Put that away.
See that, okay?
Okay, the first thing I have to say that we've missed here in the past month is I have to congratulate former governor of New York, Eliot Spitzer.
Yes, congratulations.
For having a sex scandal that didn't involve another man.
Yeah.
Hello.
I don't think he got enough credit for that.
I know.
You know.
Absolutely.
You know, it's about time that politicians, you know, start acting straight. Which I do love the shirt that came out to commemorate that of did she Spitzer or swallow?
Oh, that's not right.
That's a good one. I love
that's
that.
That's cute.
Ouch. Yeah, I've been spending too much time on those weird T-shirt sites. But so congratulations to Eliot Spitzer for finally landing a fish. But the thing is, I gotta say this: you know, you're the governor
were the governor of, you know, second most important state in the country. And you had to pay for it? Come on! Yeah, when Bill Clinton was governor of Arkansas, he got it free from Miss Arkansas.
Honey, I'd have to pay for it, too, if I had an attitude like his. And a face. Oy.
Yeah.
Last time I saw the face like that, it was on the Scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz.
You're the governor of New York and you couldn't get it for free?
What I don't understand. Absolutely. But, I mean, for real. But for crying out loud. This man, we discussed this a while back, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Last month.
The man was, the man should know. He's the governor. That they're going to notice. Things like bank accounts going all sort of south.
And he used to prosecute these kind of people.
And,
you know,
and
when the video, the good thing for him is the embarrassing video that popped up afterwards was him saying, you know, the government's always watching everything you do, and you need to be careful about it.
Just the irony of that, you know?
Yeah, I think that was the fall from grace. You know? that was what got him is like,
you know, apparently that was the ultimate case of the rules don't apply to you, or believing that at least, because
for some reason he thought he was a Republican.
Apparently, yeah.
I thought it had something to do with the Patriot Act. I mean, you know, all those librarians, you know, you gotta whip them in shape.
What about librarians?
She pretty much is one.
Well,
the president's wife is one.
Bookstore. Yeah.
Stacy here works at a bookstore.
The president's
and I am planning to become an actual librarian. So.
Not one of the bookstores.
Legitimate
bookstore, yeah, not like, oh, I don't know.
Hollywood.
What? A bookstore that has. Books
a book whore.
Oh, wait, hold on, I gotta say this. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
I do believe we have a we do have a phone call, I believe.
Well,
do we?
All right. Talks amongst yourselves.
Talks amongst yourself.
Oh,
here we go again. We seem to be doing that a lot tonight.
I know.
Like, you know.
Well, see, I think
as long as the yellow light doesn't come on, I'll answer any phone call.
This year. I think the distinction is where you put the emphasis, because you could have a legitimate bookstore or a legitimate bookstore.
Oh, true story.
Whatever happened to real bookstores? I mean, they're all like these corporate giants now.
We're
you know,
like
and speaking of bookstores, could we have a gay bookstore that actually functions the way a bookstore should? Where, you know, if you're going to have a coffee shop / bookstore, you know, what is it with the people who run these things? Why do they always turn out to be such
Idiots?
That's the word I'm looking for.
The one that we can use on the air.
That's a word we can use on the air.
Having previously worked retail and in a coffee shop, you know, the thing is, a lot of people, especially in this area, that are trying to get jobs that don't necessarily live in this area, but mm-hmm. are commuting to get here just because they want to be in the gayborhood.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big problem, is they're just wanting to be down here and for the attention, and they're wanting to be these little social butterflies, and they don't have the love for the actual job. They have the love for the attention of that person that works there.
Mm.
They love the title that I work in the gayborhood. I'm cool now because I work here, and they don't realize that, you know.
They have no clue how to do the job.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's one of the things that really upset me, because I was actually trying to get a job down here when I moved down here.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved down here not to be in the area, but because I was actually moving in with a significant other.
And a bookstore which will not here be named.
Yeah, decided that even though
not
I had...
Not to hire you.
Yeah, they decided not to hire me despite the fact that I had experience, and then they go and hire other people who have no idea what they're doing.
That's okay. You now work for somebody who I love and care a great deal for.
Well, that's
true. So it worked out well all in the end.
This is true.
But still, I mean...
It'd be nice to be making coffee again.
I was told point blank at my job
that we were going to start hiring a different sort of person. And since I was told that, we've gotten some really crappy coworkers.
Yes. You
know. Wow.
Stuff like that happens. All right, let's get into some stories here.
What do we got? What kind of queerness have we missed?
The pregnant man.
The pregnant transgendered man. Let's get it right, y'all.
He's still a man.
He identifies as a man.
He's 9 months that he stopped taking his hormones.
Basically, he's a man from the third rib up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meaning?
From the third rib lower.
He's still female.
Yeah.
Sort of. Yeah.
Complete surf and turf job.
Anatomy. I'm just like.
Yeah.
Apparently what it is Thomas Beatty is a transgender legal male and has a wife, Nancy. He's also 22 weeks pregnant. 8 years after having his last menstrual cycle, and he stopped taking bi-monthly testosterone injections, his body regulated itself so he was able to conceive. Now, who did daddy?
He did daddy. I saw them. They are actually going to explain. They're going to be honest with the kid and explain to him that
daddy is
the person who gave birth to him is his father.
Okay, well, who's the sperm donor?
Let's hope it's not
David Crosby.
I don't know if it was some. I think it was some sort of in vitro thing. You know,
they went to the bank.
Yeah, I don't know how that worked out.
Well, that's the thing is
they got a withdrawal.
You mean they went to Virgin sperm bank?
He's going to be the biological mother,
mm-hmm.
but not the biological father.
But he is going to be the father of the baby.
The father figure,
The father figure.
Well, that's true, and I don't think anyone's arguing those.
But nobody, but it's like who? Well, I'm sure they'll probably explain that there was a donor involved somewhere and how that happened. The scary part is that guy looks a little bit too much like one of my favorite porn stars. Uh-oh. While he is definitely all male, is a raging bottom. But anyhow,
I love the picture they have there. It's in a way, it's almost like the Demi Moore picture.
That's what I was thinking. It's a little.
Except, I guess, apparently his hand was too small to cover the. Oh, no, that would be. I'm sorry. That's still a vagina down there.
Yeah.
All I can say is it's the boy named Sue theory. I mean, this little girl is going to grow up. Tough as nails.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing.
I agree.
So she's a lesbian.
Coming from an adopted family, I mean, I'm an adopted child.
So am I.
Exactly. And, you know, I grew up defending myself, and that made me a better person.
You know, it sounds so Arkansas to be able to point to two people and say, I've got two mommies and a daddy, and there they are. I'd like you to meet my wife and sister.
Oh, my God.
No,
if your grandmother is also your sister, you might be.
No. I used to tell people that made fun of me, my mommy and daddy picked me out. Mm-hmm. You didn't have a choice.
Exactly.
I was always told that I was the one they got to pick.
Exactly.
The other ones they were stuck with.
Hand sanitizer.
They don't accept definitions of what was happening.
Okay, there are some rather interesting things that go along with this story. I mean, first of all, you know at some point there's going to be a whole list of conservative yahoos
that's already
who are
started.
Going to go off the deep end about this one.
They are already experiencing being ostracized in their community.
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare professionals, it says here, healthcare professionals have refused to call him by a male pronoun and recognize his wife. They've even been laughed at. And their friends and family aren't supportive. And
well, they appeared on Oprah. That's one strike against them already.
Yes. They pretty much put a target on themselves.
Because Gutis knows, you know, she's a bastion of conservative thinking.
She's getting to a point where she's just like, maybe she's gotten down to about a notch or two above Maury Povich, I think.
Oh, now she's got more class than that. She's never. Sure? She's hey. She's never done six episodes in a row of who my baby daddy.
Yeah,
right.
Not yet. Give her time.
You know who's gotten bad about that? Montel.
And it's
really bad.
No.
No, he has not.
Mari Povich has.
He
too.
Has not.
Well, that's more.
Okay. The only thing that I have to say, yes, they may be getting a lot of flack from everybody.
So he has Sylvia Brown on every week. Big deal.
But the big point is, and me and Merlin were talking about this earlier with another friend of ours.
Mm-hmm.
He's had to take care of his niece for the past month.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just thinking about it and how strange it is that he can take such good care of this child, even though the child's parents are not doing pretty much anything for this child.
Exactly.
Right.
Who was this?
And
we'll get to that later, sugar.
It's just
we're
amazing.
Not dropping his name on the air.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
but it's just amazing that he can take care of this child that is not even his,
mm-hmm.
that he has so much love and compassion for, that he's willing to shell out time and money and love for.
And his biological parents could give a care.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I'm sorry. Even if I wasn't gay, I can't imagine any situation where two loving parents of the same sex can't in any way, shape, or form possibly not be better for a child than even just one parent who's a raging, vicious monster of a human being who abuses a child or hurts a child or...
But because they're straight, it's better for the child.
Like, I was trying to explain to my mother tonight, because we were actually discussing this very thing. And, you know, she was saying, well, the child's going to have to grow up with hardship or whatever. And, you know, I told her, you know, every kid grows up screwed up. But
in one way or another.
Exactly.
In one way or another
and
these
I'm like,
days.
But that's what makes
this
us strong.
Kid should be so blessed to have two parents that are going to love her. Mm-hmm. And raise her, yeah. and give they're giving up everything for this child, mm-hmm. and so you have, you know, the crack addict daddy, and you know the prostitute of a mother. Thank you.
Yes, we have to use civil words.
Exactly.
Here.
You know. And you know, how is that better for a child than two loving, devoted parents?
Yeah,
exactly.
It's just.
Sorry, we're reading erotica.
On back on the transgender situation, I mean, again, it goes back to that same thing. It is, these are parents who love. And they knew, and they could not have not known going into it, the grief they would get by people who have to, who feel like it is their right to be the morality police for everybody's lives. You know, I'm right and you're always wrong, you know, people.
But if anything, you know...
Especially if your religion starts with a big C.
I just chalk it up to it's nobody's business.
Well, there's
if they
want to,
you know, have a child and love a child, it's nobody's business.
But everyone thinks everything is
however,
their business.
Yeah. But however, because something is out of what is expected or, that lovely word I hate to use,
normal.
There it is. It is news.
We should have theme music for that
word.
just like terrifying Darth Vader type theme.
The first of anything, the first of everything always creates a controversy.
I'm proud of that family.
You know? When Madonna first made the scene and she started doing all those books and saying things in her songs
and
you
had
know,
safety
you know,
cones.
You know, yeah. When she
and I saw this.
You know, I'm old enough to remember when her career started.
Back
you know,
when the blonde wasn't
when the blonde wasn't a Dija an electric Dija,
or wasn't that great that you actually him?
Yeah, I mean, she was saying things.
When she dressed
her,
like she came out.
She
of the
is still
store.
Around because she dared,
mm-hmm.
in a time to say things in her songs like you know, and you say stuff like "Papa don't preach." I mean, though, in an age when you know. they were still of the mode, if you have a baby out of wedlock, you don't keep the baby, you give that off to adoption and mama and daddy tell you what to do. You know, she said, you know, she's still around because she had the
tenacity.
Yeah,
ovum.
Yeah, she had to.
She had the brass.
Oh no, I'm sure she had a pair of brass anyhow, somewhere in her house. But brass tenacities, exactly. She had a pair of brass tenacities that she just and she. That's why, you know. And now, I mean, there throughout life, there's always somebody who comes along who challenges something. They become the first person to do something, and somewhere along the line, they become somebody who is seen as a pioneer. Yeah. Dr. Ruth Westheimer.
Oh, yeah.
Short little, you know, woman, you know.
Your grandmother-looking lady.
Your grandmother-looking lady. Talking about sex.
Yeah.
Talking about...
Telling you how to do it right.
And saying the words and saying it like it is. And
thank God you didn't have a demonstration of it.
Yeah, no.
No, but there is someone who does, and I can't remember the name right now. Yeah. Either way. Sorry. Anyhow.
Dr. Judy? No.
Shut up. We're working a joke here.
He was working a joke here. Shut up. But I mean...
We'll explain it to you later, Virgin.
Yeah.
Because God knows we always have to explain it to you later.
Yeah.
Anyhow. Listen. I mean, when she can't... I mean, nobody expected this to be coming out of the mouth of a 60-year-old, you know...
You must use a condom whenever you take the man's penis.
Yeah. Oh, that hurt.
That's great, by the way.
I mean, it's amazing. Oh,
so you understand that person becomes that person who does something first always becomes the center of the controversy. But in the end, they become somebody who guides the way for everybody who comes afterward to be able to do something like that or something even bigger and more, in the end, helpful and opening to the community.
They give us our liberties.
And I mean the world community. I don't mean the gay community or the straight. I mean all of us.
It's unfortunate,
they paved the way.
That no matter how many times history repeats itself, people are never going to figure it out.
Oh, I think... No, you see... There will always be somebody who, you know, has their own sort of idea of this is how it's always supposed to been, this is how it always will be, yada, yada, yada. However, I truly believe in the face of bigotry and stupidity and acts of evil perpetrated by people who pretend to be people of God, you know?
I like Chris' expression.
that we are finally getting to the point in life where there are more people who are starting to think for themselves and not just simply accept that this is how it always has been and this is, and, you know, thusly, what this is how, you know. There are people who are finally getting that.
Yeah, we're going with this story now.
Hello, what?
Oh, my God. Okay, listen
from
to this.
From the world of, what the hell are they thinking?
This is from Orlando, Florida. This is News 6.
God's waiting room. Okay.
this is the same town that airbrushed John Cena's nipples on billboards.
Oh, God. For anybody here not know who John Cena is?
I know he is.
He's a professional wrestler.
John Cena's nipples?
Yes. Phone call.
He's a hot...
You can't see me.
Let's take care of that.
John Cena's home. All right, listen up, kiddos. Florida teens who believe drinking a cap of bleach will prevent HIV and a shot of Mountain Dew will stop pregnancy.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Have prompted lawmakers to push for overhaul of sex education in states.
I love the look on Merlin's face right now. He's like, what the heck?
From getting pregnant, Local 6 reported. State lawmakers said the myths are spreading because of Florida's abstinence-only sex education. Local 6 reported they are proposing a bill that would require a more quote-unquote comprehensive approach. It would still require teaching abstinence, but students who would also learn about condoms and other methods of birth control and disease prevention.
Yay!
Thank you.
Somebody got it.
Finally. We're learning.
Maybe somebody finally figured out that, you know, getting
bleach
that all of that stuff doesn't really, you know.
Unless you're pushing it through your veins and then you got something else.
And then you've got a much bigger problem. Because if you're putting bleach through your veins, you might ought to write your will really, really quickly.
I don't think you'll be able to write it fast enough.
You learn that and you might not have so many 14-year-old girls leaving babies in... airport bathrooms.
No, the 14-year-old was in the middle school.
What must be going through someone's mind when they try to flush an infant?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of questions that come up with that. I think the first person who's coming up as a lawyer for her is saying she may not have known she was pregnant. Her family may not have known she was pregnant. That's the next part of it. You know, the nurse, you know, shouldn't have just sent her away saying, "Hey, you're just having really bad cramps." And well, I haven't had that for a couple of months. Mm-hmm. The nurse could have done a little bit more on that. But yeah, that's a strange situation. And you know, the saying about the parents not knowing. When I was in high school. Last millennium.
You too?
There was a girl at my school who gave birth at school. Don't know if the baby was stillborn or not.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was going, well, how could you not tell she was pregnant? You know, how could no one tell that she was pregnant? I said, she walked in front of me every day as she got off the school bus before I did. Mm-hmm. So I saw her every day. My eyes are at that level. I couldn't tell she was pregnant until that happened. You know, the question is, you know, at the time it happened, you know, what was she thinking? You know, if she did not realize she was pregnant, and, you know, unfortunately with these asinine abstinence-only plans, she didn't have the thing of getting
the knowledge
to
know what was going on. The resources to understand what she might have been. She might have recognized what she was, something she was feeling, something that was going on during the course of that.
That's why we should reserve judgment on those girls themselves, and that's what angers me so much.
People want to go after the kids.
Media latching on to these kids, scared little girls that have no idea what their bodies are going through.
And when I heard that she may not have known, now if she had been somewhat older, I might have gotten that.
14.
But she was 14.
She hadn't even started menstruating yet to know that she should have been.
We actually have to start menstruating to actually. Well, but still. If you don't,
she may not have been familiar with the whole.
You haven't been educated to what your body's going through. Mm-hmm. You don't know.
I mean,
she may have not been educated to the idea. Well, if you stop doing that, guess what? You have a problem on the way in about 9 months.
Yeah,
I mean, it is kind of sad that she, you know, probably didn't know what was going on. I just, you know, once it's done and over with.
Okay, I was born 2 months premature. My mother did not gain a pound. She knew she was pregnant, but I'm just saying.
But
she could have not gained any weight whatsoever. I have two friends right now that are pregnant. One of them didn't start showing until she was 7 months pregnant.
The two that we met?
Yes.
And I've met both of them. And when the one of them said she was, and I was like...
Yeah, and she's
how pregnant is she?
I'm like, because she's almost 4 months now, I think.
I'm like,
and you know, if it's born premature, which under the stress of middle school, high school life to someone that age, you know, could cause premature birth, they wouldn't have even known up until that point, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Everybody in my family was born preemie.
Talking about
all of them, except me.
Pregnant.
I was a mess.
I understand they're scared. They don't know what's
Thank
going
you.
On.
Thank you. Love you too.
But
sorry.
Once, you know, you've given birth to a premature baby in a bathroom, why would you try and throw it away?
Okay, what would be going through your head if all of a sudden you didn't know you were pregnant, and just at school, you're in middle school, and all of a sudden... Kaplop, there's a baby.
Well, I was smart enough not to have sex with him.
Well,
so
maybe that wasn't her choice.
That's the next question has to be is,
okay.
You know, they say they know who the daddy is.
So there's going to be an investigation in that, you know.
Yeah.
Just depending on age, you know. If he was, if he's 16 or 17,
he's in trouble. He's in deep trouble.
There's that.
Do you know of any possibility that maybe he put her up to it?
I haven't heard anything mentioned past, you know, just that they have an idea who the father is. But, that's the last I heard about it. You know, the amazing thing, what you haven't heard is the fact that, technically, she could be up for capital murder.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
Technically speaking, it's a possibility. Because of the fact that, you know, the death of a child under the age of two in the state of Texas is a capital murder offense. At the age she's at, if what little I know of the law, you know, death penalty is not going to be on the table. And it's a weirder system with that younger age. It's actually considered a civil trial.
But it's still not pleasant.
So, I mean, we're talking about something that, you know, and it's just an unfortunate part of this. There's two sides. You've got this conservative culture that has said we need to teach kids abstinence.
Mm-hmm.
So we tell the kids, don't do it. And, you know, if you back up how many months it was since this, it was the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we have such an economy that both parents have to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so the little girl, and whatever guy was there had, unfortunately, probably had no supervision. And this sort of thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's, you know, those two byproducts of the kind of culture that we've been having here lately is that we're telling kids, don't do it, don't do it. You know,
we're not going to stop you.
And, you know.
But the thing is, if you tell somebody not to do something, they're more compelled to actually do it because they want to know what it's like. You've already told them how to do it, what's the outcome,
there is that idea that something is taboo. You know, if you there are, I mean.
And for the love of God, they're
young. When you're young, you know. The thing you most want to do, and the thing that your parents say, don't do that, is going to be the thing you're going to want to do.
Yeah, especially when you do it once and find out, and this feels good.
This feels good.
Yeah.
Mom told me not to be gay.
Have you ever just tried not being a mutant?
And one of the two females in the room. What my mother told me when I... I had very... I had very strict parents that watched me like a hawk. But what they told me when I was, you know, old enough to even start thinking about sex was...
Just get the door.
Don't have sex with a guy you can't imagine raising a kid with.
Wow. Yeah.
And that put the fear into my heart.
I have a vivid memory of the attempted conversation with me on that topic. By which time I already knew I was gay. So here's my father attempting to have the talk with me. And I'm sitting here going, okay, Dad, I get it. Don't. We're not, because, you know, it's not going to come up. Trust me. It's not really going to matter.
My mom was 15 when I was born. She was like, go ahead, have
mine
a
too.
Kid. And I said, no, I think I'll be gay.
I was like, I'm just going to...
I'm personally thankful my parents never even tried to have the talk with me. I would have just been like, just sitting. No, they didn't know. They were hoping I would turn out straight.
You mean they couldn't figure it out?
I didn't talk at all.
Whatever.
What happened to me?
Well, so,
he was either gay or had a severe case of cerebral palsy.
Okay, here's the good thing.
Well, I was.
Okay, I think I figured that part out.
Chris is trying to talk.
Let Mark finish.
What?
Go ahead,
Mark. Finish your thought.
But it's just like, I'm glad they never really had to talk with it. I'm glad I found it out from other people, because talking to my parents has always been kind of awkward, especially when it comes to those sort of subjects. Because it's
that's a lot of kids.
Growing up in a Baptist household, it's like it's something you don't talk about. It's just the culture, the background that goes with it in the Baptist and everything. Even in the church period, it's not something you really talk about.
For the conservative Christians out there, who, you know, would just love, wants to cherry pick something and for our community that you can love and enjoy. Remember this, in the homosexual community, there are no unplanned pregnancies.
Well, I wish that were true, but I have known some really drunk people.
Well, okay, there are no unplanned pregnancies between two homosexuals.
Of the same sex.
Of the same sex.
That I have to get one story in before I step outside for a smoke break.
Oh, come on this show we say suck a fag.
Yeah.
Which she's probably done before.
No, my mother pulled me aside when I was in fifth grade and decided she was going to have the talk with me. I said, Mom, I already know what you're going to tell me. She's like, tell me what you know. I did. And she said, how did you learn all that? I didn't know that.
On that note,
on that smoke break note, get
let us take
play
a little bit of music.
Yeah, let's all go.
Let y'all go out, suck a fag. We'll play a couple tunes. A little Jim Verivos. Estás Enquiendo, or however the hell you say it. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. We'll be right back.
Don't know. Rip it up. Take it down.
app trying to download something to play for the next song, but I have to do something else. And in the meantime, you know, 1 month after not doing these CDs, I forget what I'm doing. Let's go now to the Bootlickers. And then after that, a little hip-hop.
I'm stumbling back in the club. I'm sweaty and kind of dazed. My shirt's untucked and my hair's messed up. But I got a smile on my face. I just did your boyfriend.
Can't seem to get enough.
I just did your boyfriend.
Can't seem to get enough.
I just did your boyfriend.
Can't seem to get enough.
I just did your boyfriend.
Since 5 years old, this hand I'm dealt in the no limit holder. On the day of my birth, yo, I knew I was the chosen one to educate these misdirected minds, brainwashed by the church and the law at the same time. I grew up a Midwest Catholic boy. By age 18, I was done with that noise and all the pollution they were feeding my head. I knew when I was a kid I already liked men, but I went through that and had to bite my lip. Wanna hear the boy say, yo, he looks like a faggot. Man, you gotta tell me what's a faggot supposed to look like or sound like. You want me sucking when I'm on the mic?
Revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution, revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution, revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution, revolution, la revolution, revolution, gay revolution.
to take the power from the people who have it. Big nuggets in the house, weigh it up and then bag it. Give it to the kids at your local college. We came to spread the love and we came to bring knowledge. To anyone that don't believe what we do is real or what we do is wrong, cause we're proud that we're queer. I got something to say and I'm not holding back. Making the foundation for gay hip-hop on the map. You better listen up to the things that we're doing. We're doing big things cause we're steady moving units. I'm bobbing off my band while I'm writing lyrics to this. The new breed of hip-hop we make for the people. We're only one love and for us to be equal. This is the first chapter, yo, wait for the sequel. I have a big mouth, you know I'm gonna use it. Whoever thought a faggot with a mic would be a nuisance.
Revolution, la revolution. Revolution, gay revolution. Revolution, la revolution. Revolution, gay revolution. Revolution, la revolution. Revolution, gay revolution. Revolution, la revolution. Revolution, gay revolution.
You wanna talk about rights? Well, it's really confusing. The same people making laws are the ones who abuse it. The positions they're in for the money and the wealth, while the gay rights agenda just sits on the shelf. Like it don't mean, and you wonder why we're pissed. And every time we rise up, you wish that we were lynched. This is the revolution that's been building for years, collecting due interest on our blood, sweat, and tears. You ain't gonna stop this cause it's way too late. Too many people out there who still feel ashamed that they are gay, so they hide it and deny it, hating themselves for the simple fact they tried it. But in this revolution, there's no giving up. We only want peace and we only want love. You better get used to this cause we ain't going nowhere. Man, I get off when all you homophobes stop and stare.
Revolution, la revolution. Revolution, gay revolution. Revolution, la revolution. Revolution, gay revolution. Revolution, la revolution. Revolution, gay revolution. Revolution, la revolution. Revolution, gay revolution.
Big Nug.
Hi.
And
what's up?
He will be here.
Hey.
When?
Okay, someone.
Hi.
When?
Sometime soon.
Hi, yes, either. A couple weeks.
Ooh.
Hola.
Awesome.
April 18th, Friday, 9 p.m. at Super Happy Funland at 3801 Polk Street.
Okay. Gay people have the right to invade any genre of music they please. I just really wish they had
taste.
had taste. Stopped.
Yeah.
What about gay Zydeco?
What? However, I really do kind of wish they'd stopped at hip hop.
I never liked
I never understood
music before.
Until queers started
Until
doing
it. Until I started hearing some of the queers.
Yay!
You should have seen Jose here when he's clicked on the link for Q-Boy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I almost had to go home and change my panties. But anyway.
British homo hop. Well, the thing is, if you would have seen when he came into town last year, he performed a song with Deadly, I believe. And they both stripped down to their boxer shorts.
Okay.
Really now?
And I will tell you, it was the Bells of St. Mary.
Boom.
Were they the Bell of Ball?
La, la, la. There was a lot of floppage.
You gotta get that Jimmy.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, big-a-ding-a-ling.
Was it Christmas time all over again, singing Pring-a-ling?
I was looking for Glory Hole.
It was the Bells of St. Mary's, because it was
Glory,
a really big-a-ding-a-ling.
Glory Hole, I'll do you. All right. Woo! Okay, so we all always...
Now, is she a, now, hold on, let's see. Is she a teacher or...
No, she's just...
You know, it's about time that we have one of these stories that doesn't involve a teacher.
Yeah.
So refreshing.
So, let's...
You know, that having been said, I'm afraid about...
Was it Got Milf?
It must have been the teacher's aide.
Got Milf?
Milf.
Well, I know I do. A Wisconsin woman was charged 2 weeks ago with having sex with a teenage boy... was arrested again yesterday when cops went to a residence and found her there with the, they call him child. He's 15.
That's not a child, that's a teenager.
He's old enough to knock up a middle school girl.
Hey, right?
Jamie Foss, 31, was immediately jailed for violating bail terms imposed after she was charged March 19th with 3 counts of sexual assault of a child. Now, of course, the She met, oh, she met him at church.
At a Calvary,
oh, Assembly of God church, no less.
And they want to say that we doing wrong?
Now, of course, now this is from the smokinggun.com. And, of course, the reason we're just reading this earlier is because the three, some of the three greatest words ever have appeared on the screen with a hyperlink to it saying graphic criminal complaint.
Yes. It's like reading one of those stories out of nifty.org, you know?
You know, apparently they were confusing that oil called chrism with something else.
See, my only question is, if the kid kept coming back for more, you know, whatever.
That's not called molestation. That's called every straight teenage male's fantasy.
No, here's the icing on the cake. Foss's kids were asleep elsewhere in the house.
Oh, see, that's kind of wrong.
Yeah. Okay, and
she was more than twice his age.
Where was the husband?
He's 15,
during all this.
She's 31.
Yep, that's.
And apparently, you know, this is one of those cases where his parents really need to get him away from watching pornography because they had to do the laundry afterwards.
Oh, dear.
Well, you know,
teach him how to do his own laundry.
Well, in other words,
I did. My parents made me do my laundry.
I guess it was one of those things where, because he had an abstinent school program, so he didn't have any condoms, so basically, to ensure there wasn't pregnancy.
Pull-out method?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was the 8-second rule. He got off the bucking bronco or something. 29:30, I'm out of here. So.
There are a lot of adults who wish they could do that on a regular basis.
Oh, I'll tell you this. Go to thesmokinggun.com. Read the complaint. It's so harlequin in nature. I would love to describe it,
puts harlequin
to
shame.
I would get in trouble with describing that sort of thing.
Yeah,
but, I mean, to make it sound so hot, but yet so
wrong,
legal.
She's facing about 40 years in prison. So by the time she gets out,
he'll be legal.
He'll be legal.
More than legal.
And she'll be a senior citizen.
And she'll go from MILF to GILF.
Well, they say prunes keep you regular.
That
remember
was
that
called for.
What's our next?
Oh,
remember that joke about prostate problems from earlier?
Yeah.
I refer back to that.
Okay,
let's leave that alone.
Yeah,
Boston Phoenix has come out with its 100 unsexiest man for 2008.
What?
100 unsexiest
the Boston,
men.
Oh, unsexiest men.
Yeah, the Boston Phoenix, which from best I can tell is their version of the Houston Press.
It's the alternative newspaper. Number oddly enough, the list begins and ends with two sports icons. Number 100 is Tom Brady, and number one is Roger Clemens. Actually, my favorite is number 3, Larry Craig, Senator Glory, hallelujah.
We don't care what you do in the downtime between flights, Larry. Seek the illicit encounter if you must. Loiter and lurk. Send signals to the stranger in the next stall. Use code. Wiggle your fingers. Take as wide a stance as you must. It's all fine with us. But in the not entirely unlikely event that you get busted, the threat of bustation being presumably part of the turn-on, for God's sakes, be a man about it. A proud man, a bi man, or a gay man. There's a thing on YouTube.
Well, you know, there is somewhat of a sad side to that Craig story. After all, even if he was out of the closet, you know, he is over 40, and we all know how the gay male community treats boys over 40.
But you know, but he's in Congress. He's got congressional pages. Frank be if it wasn't for his congressional pages?
That's why congressmen don't use bookmarks. They like their pages bent over.
If it wasn't for congressional pages, Barney Frank would still have the guy running a whorehouse out of his apartment.
There you go.
Well, see, my only thing is, as an intern for someone in the government, haven't you realized part of your job is to go down on them?
If we haven't heard anything from the little black grass.
You know. It's, you know.
Everybody wants to complain about it. I mean, come on.
I mean, morality is not... Morality and ethics. They have an office of ethics in the... You know, there's supposed to be like a committee on ethics in our government. I don't know what they're doing there. I have no idea what.
They're on vacation.
They must be on permanent vacation.
Didn't we have Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Well, that's the army, though. Right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. wrong government
or
brand.
Or yeah. the armed forces.
Wrong government body. I'm sorry.
I do love that T-shirt that came out right around the same time that Don't Ask, Don't Tell became a thing. It said, you know, and it was in all the gay shops. It said, Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Don't think so.
Number 9 is Elliot Spitzner.
The love of God.
Oh, client 9, what big ears you have. And you know what they say, right? The bigger a man's ears, the more he spends on hookers. The ex-governor wasn't exactly a New York sex symbol, even when he was beating the pants off Wall Street crooks.
Now, so many pictures that just ran through mine.
Yeah.
Now that the FBI has got his pay-to-lay madame on a wiretap calling him difficult and revealing his predilection for riding bareback with prostitutes, it's safe to say that he's significantly reduced his potential partner pool to a handful of rim-seeking men looking for payback in cell block D.
And what's scary to me, on top of that story, is now that woman who has become the center of that. Because the women always become more... The people they did it with disappear into boy, did you screw up obscurity. But the women who were, you know, doing the deed with them always end up in as a pinup in a Playboy issue.
Well, because a woman knows how to master every situation.
This new woman is, I mean, she's even getting offers for like massive amounts
but
of money.
But here's the interesting part is that one of the first offers she got was from Girls Gone Wild.
Uh-huh.
And then
there's more.
Then they realized, hey, we already have her on tape showing off her tatas.
Mm-hmm.
About 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Then they looked at that and they started doing the math. Well, she's 21 now and we took this picture 4 years ago.
Whoops!
Oh, she was underage.
Oh.
Put two and two together and come up with 4 years underage.
And he's already fighting those other stuff there.
Oh, my.
Strip searching in school?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to hear this.
How is that legal?
This is the headline here. The school crotch inspector fighting the... No, listen.
How did he get that job?
Listen,
fighting the Advil menace, one strip search at a time. There are two kinds of people in the world. The kind who think it's perfectly reasonable to strip search a 13-year-old girl suspected of bringing ibuprofen to school. And the kind that think that people should be kept far as away from children as possible.
Number 2, please. No.
Okay.
I'll take the later.
Stafford Middle School in Stafford, Arizona. Back in 2003, forced an 8th grader to prove she was not concealing Advil in her crotch or cleavage.
We'll take the letter B for...
So, apparently, we've got a middle school in Arizona that wants to check a girl's crotch for drugs, and we've got a school here, middle school here in the Houston area that doesn't want to check the girl's crotch for a baby.
Go figure.
Okay. See, somewhere in the middle, they should meet.
Somewhere in this universe.
Okay, I'm just really freaked out because you said Stafford, Arizona, which is where my birth mother's family is from, and they're like this psycho Christian right family.
Well, what it comes down to is that it's that zero tolerance.
Yeah. Gee, I wonder where I've heard zero tolerance type policies.
against drugs. You know, this is the same zero tolerance. You know, you can't bring weapons to school. So, you know, the kid who brings a real steak knife to cut a hard piece of meat at lunch gets busted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so here's
the guy who brings the Tylenol to school because
she brought
it's a drug.
Two ibuprofen and one naproxen.
So she gets migraines.
What's the street value of that anyway? Come on.
20 cents.
I know. I mean, hey, if she has Vicodin, I can understand. Breaker, come
on. Yeah, that's...
We really... I'm sorry. We really have taken the whole... That is another one of those policies which has been taken to an extreme, which is absolutely
it's
asinine.
That people need to be drug out into the streets and beaten because they came up with it.
Now, this is a really screwed up thing. They told her to pull her bra out and to the side and shake it, exposing her breasts. Pull her underwear out to the crotch and shake it.
How old was this kid?
13.
Okay, I want to talk about child abuse.
I love this next
child
line
abuse.
On here. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between drug warriors and child molesters. What a world we live in.
What?
Oh man.
What now? What?
But you know, the line on there is, you know, it's hard to tell the drug warriors from the molesters.
Yeah. Any last minute quickie stories?
We're coming.
Or is it time for us to say our goodnights yet? Do we have time for anything interesting? Is there anything left?
Really not much.
Well, okay. This is in New York.
The public library is working on gay lesbian history.
Woo!
So they're going to have
it's about time.
Well, if any library should, one in New York should.
And they put up a bust of Harvey Milk in City Hall in San Francisco.
Oh. Woo!
There we go.
That's awesome. Only, what, 30 some odd years too late, but okay.
Well, you know, it all comes from the hype of having two movies being about the same topic. You know?
Uh-huh.
Those sorts of things happen.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, we're coming to the end of this segment, this show, this episode.
Aww.
And as long as history doesn't repeat ourselves, we'll be back next week.
You know, I was about to say, and we're going to be off the air again, but only for a week this time.
We're coming, my friend, to the end of a really great show.
So, thank you for being a part of it. Thank you very much to the four of you who cared enough to call in the past month and ask where the hell we were.
Yay!
What about the people tonight that called?
For the drunk bastard at home who's trying to recreate what we did last month, quit calling.
Enough already.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, Dad, but just quit calling.
And to our stalwart crew here who showed up anyhow.
We always are here.
Well, they'll show up for anything.
Should we give a shout out to our MBBs and our...
Yeah, we got one that we got to give the letter to Robin.
Well, of course
you got
to say goodnight to Jimmy, you know.
Goodnight, Jimmy, wherever you are.
Jimmy won't get to this point in there, because once he starts hearing... Fortunately for me, he doesn't listen to broadcast the show that he misses, so unless somebody calls him and tells him to listen.
Which is eternally lucky for you, Chris.
Right? One of these days.
Hey, I'll teach him to show his ass up around here once in a while.
Hello. It's like, show up once in a while. No.
So, quick any shout-outs?
Much love, blessed be. I'm going
to... Thanks to...
I'll be here next week, but I won't be here the weekend after that. I'm going out of town.
Let's see, Merlin's going out of town.
I'm going to a Beltane celebration.
I wasn't sure if it was going to be pagan comic book or Star Trek.
It's going to be a lot of naked pagans.
And if you can find out there, if you've got a comic book pagan Star Trek convention at one shot,
thanks.
Merlin will wet himself probably.
You know.
Don't. You dare.
Like a little dog that hasn't seen you in a week.
Merlin would not need a massage to feel the love and the she. All right. Something I haven't said in a while. It's time now for your PSAs.
Buonanotte.
Explore a world of entertainment April 19th, 20th, 27th, and 28th at the Houston International Festival, spotlighting Out of Africa in downtown. Make the Out of Africa Zone your first stop. Visit a reproduction of one of the 8 wonders of the world, the mountain-carved Church of Lalibela. Check out the North American debut of the National Dance Theater of Ethiopia on the WAMU Center stage. And, of course, don't miss the World Music Stage featuring top artists like Buddy Guy, the Neville Brothers, Habib Koité, the Wailers, and Taj Mahal. Get early bird tickets for $8.50 till April 16th at any Houston area HEB location, online at ifest.org, or at the gate for $15. Come downtown to the Houston International Festival, brought to you by KPFT.
You are listening to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT, Houston.
Mark your calendars. Amy Goodman is coming to Houston. The host of Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman, will be live in Houston on Thursday, April 17th.
Amy will speak about her new book,
Standing Up to the Madness, Ordinary Heroes in Extraordinary Times.
The event will be held at the Pavilion Royale Event Center in a fundraiser benefiting KPFT.
Tickets to the event are $15 pre-sale, $20 at the door. In addition, you can get preferred seating to the event, a copy of Amy Goodman's new book, and a ticket to the exclusive reception with Amy for $250.
Folk music performer David Massengill opens the event at 6:30. Amy Goodman will speak at 7:30.
Again, Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, comes to Houston for a live speaking engagement on Thursday, April 17th.
The Pavilion Royale is wheelchair accessible and is located at 5800 Airline Drive.
This is Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
Explore a world of entertainment April 19th, 20th, 27th, and 28th at the Houston International Festival, spotlighting Out of Africa and downtown. Make the Out of Africa Zone your first stop. Visit a reproduction of one of the 8 wonders of the world, the mountain-carved Church of Lalibela. Check out the North American debut of the National Dance Theater of Ethiopia on the WAMU Center stage. And, of course, don't miss the World Music Stage featuring top artists like Buddy Guy.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.